Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, we had the opportunity a little bit earlier this month to sit down with Jonathan Pagio. Jonathan is a terrific textual interpreter of fairy tales and the Bible. It was a fascinating conversation. Here's some what it sounded like. Jonathan, it's great to see you.
It's great to see you, Ben.
So let's talk about deep and fun things. You know, I spend most of my time obviously covering the news, covering the election, and it's not particularly deep, and this year it's not particularly fun. It turns out that things are very serious. And it turns out also that the news is transitory. And the thing that you work on day in and day out is the meaning and symbolism of the deepest things in the world. So that means that you're constantly talking about the Bible and symbolism and now fairy tales. I want to start with having you talk a little bit about your work with fairy tales, because that's something that I think most people don't spend any time thinking about. It's embedded deeply with the vast majority of us. I mean, the minute that you say you've written a book about Jack and the Beanstalk, this Jack and the Fallen Giant, and most of us know the story, obviously. I'd say the vast majority of the population knows the story. But the point that you make is that these stories are embedded in our civilization for a reason. So why don't you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, well, one of the things we've seen, you know, fairy tales have been actually pretty popular in the 20th century. And we've had Disney do amazing things with them for a few generations, like one generation and a half, you could say. But now everybody, the people that were kind of the guardians of our fairy tales, have dropped them, it seems. They don't actually want to deal with them. They're icky to them because they have things in them that they can't deal with in terms of their ideology. But they were right in their insight that fairy tales are kind of, you could say, downstream from the Bible. That's the way that I understand them. They use a type of language which is similar to biblical stories, but they're more accessible, and they're accessible to kids. They deal with fantastical images. So sometimes some of the things in the Bible that are hard to grasp because it's kind of dry. The stories in the Bible don't have a lot of description. They don't describe interstates. They're very dry, but they're amazing. Like, they're the best type of stories ever told. And fairy tales are downstream from that, where they use the same patterns and they connect to the same ideas, but they have a little more buffer and they're more accessible for the common people. So that's how I see them. And I take that very seriously. So even you mentioned the title, Jack and the Fallen Giants. One of the reasons why we're doing it that way is because there's a connection between the story of Jack and the Beanstalk and the story of the giants in Genesis, right? And also later in the Old Testament. So we're trying to help people see those connections, and see how the fairy tales aren't just a bunch of ridiculous things that are accumulated together, you know, that are just funny and ridiculous, but they actually have patterns that describe the cosmos in a deep way.
I think that the way that most people think of fairy tales and the way we tell them to our kids, magic is a big part of that story. And religion has always had this very fraught relationship with sort of the idea of magic. Obviously, the Bible itself calls out things like using witchcraft. I mean, it's actually a death penalty offense in the Old Testament. And so how should religious people see magic? Because these are kind of ongoing debates, interestingly, in Jewish circles, in Christian circles, you know, about what's real, what's not, what does it mean when it's talking about this sort of stuff, and what's the role of magic in these fairy tales?
Yeah. Well, I think that, especially as modern people, one of the things we can understand magic as, and this is, I think, the way that C.S. Lewis or Tolkien understood magic, as something like the deep connection of the world, right? So there's a deep pattern in the world. There's a type of causality which is higher than the type of causality that, you know, mechanical causation does. Like, There's a type of causality related to meaning. Maybe that's a good way of understanding it. There's a vertical causality. I can say things and they happen. So that's dramatized in stories by something like a spell. You know, like you say something and it happens in the world. But the truth is that you do that all the time. Just ask your child to bring you a glass of water and you basically cause things to happen with meaning. And so I think that's the deepest level of magic that we can understand in those stories. The problem with magic and the way it's described in the Bible is when we try to use patterns of meaning and we try to kind of gain these mysteries of the universe and use them for our own power to predict the future or to you know, to enrich ourselves and to do all that. And that's why these types of things are evil in scripture. But, you know, divination is there in the Bible. Joseph has a divination cup, you know, how do you call it? The Uman and Thuman? I forget how it's pronounced.
Yeah, Urim and Thuman. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so those are divination tools that we don't even know how exactly they function. And so it's not like sometimes when we read that, we read the prohibition against sorcery in the Bible, we think that it means that they're all a bunch of scientists and that anything that was outside of that was unacceptable. It's rather about using the power of meaning to twist reality and to use spiritual powers for your own sake. You could say it that way.
So I think it'd be awesome for you to take me and the listeners through kind of your analysis of one of these fairy tales. So pick one of the fairy tales that you like the best and give us sort of the deep read on it.
We could pick Jack. I think Jack is a good example because also we're just publishing the newest version. And Jack's fun because the thing about Jack is at the outset, it looks ridiculous. Like it's really difficult to see what the connection. Since I was a child, I love that story, but I was always wondering, like, how do we get from these different parts of the story to the others, right? But it's actually, once you kind of understand it, it's deeply coherent. Like a lot of the stories, Jack is a coming of age story at the outset, right? There is, and this is also the thing that's difficult about a lot of Puritan interpretation of fairy tales, is they try to get rid of the coming of age and sometimes sexual imagery that's in the fairy tale. By doing that, they miss a whole part of it. Now the other part, like the more progressive types, let's say in the 20th century, have tried to emphasize just sexuality. But that's also wrong. It's both. Just like in the Bible, there's a bunch of sexual symbolism. But it's not just about sex. It's about how sexuality can show us a deeper meaning and a deeper participation. So you see that in Jack. So basically, Jack doesn't have a father, and his mother's poor, right? And so she's the poor woman. She's the widow in the story of Elijah. She's someone who doesn't have anything coming from heaven, you know, to give her an identity and to hold her together. And so Jack has to trade the cow. He has to trade the feminine for seed. And it happens about at the time that he's at that age where that's going to happen to him, where he's going to kind of leave his mother. His body's going to develop. He's going to discover masculinity. But it's magic seed. Seeds are magic in themselves. Like they don't even have to be magic seeds. They're the difference between a cow that gives you milk and seeds that you can plant in the ground. And then they give you a whole bunch of food forever if you're able to do it right. So that's what's going on in that story. He plants the seeds at night and he wakes up with a giant beanstalk. There is a little bit of a sexual illusion there about him discovering masculinity. He climbs the beanstalk and then he encounters a giant. And so in encountering the giant, he basically encounters the problem of masculinity, the problem of hierarchy, the idea of trying to integrate a world of masculinity when you're coming of age. Anybody knows that? You have to join a team or you have to do anything. You have to prove yourself and the other men are giants to you. But he has a problem. His mother's poor and that's one of the problems that he's trying to deal with, the poor mother. And so he finds a bag of gold. He steals that from the giant, brings it to his mother. You think the problem solved, right? He found a bag of gold, solved the problem, but then the gold runs out. So what's better than gold, right? What's better than gold is the way you make gold. If you can produce gold, then it's much better than gold. So he goes back up and he gets a chicken that lays golden eggs. He's reached a higher level of understanding, like a higher pattern of masculinity, a higher pattern of civilization, just a higher pattern of how the world functions. Brings that down to his mother. But again, that's not enough, it seems. He has to find something else. And then when he goes back up, the last thing he finds is a golden harp that plays music. So you think, what the hell? Like, what is the relationship between the gold, the chicken that lays golden eggs, and the harp? But it's once you understand that what he's getting from heaven is something like patterns. He's getting patterns of being. So you think of Moses that goes up the mountain, right? What does he get when he gets to the top? He gets at the top. He gets a pattern of being. That's what the law is. He gets a pattern of space. That's what the pattern of the tabernacle is. And so this is what he's getting. He's getting patterns of being. And now he gets the highest pattern. For all intents and purposes, he gets what, you know, what we call the music of the spheres. Basically, the pattern of everything is what he's attaining, right? The logos itself, if you want to use another type of language. And so he steals that from his mother, and then he comes back down, and then he cuts the beanstalk, and the beanstalk falls. And so now he's gotten from heaven, but it's a weird Promethean story. It's actually a little suspicious because he's stealing these things from heaven. So there's something of a Promethean element to what he's doing, which is he's going into up Mount Olympus and he's stealing the fire from the gods and bringing them to earth. And so this is, you know, once you kind of understand it, you can see that it's totally coherent. It makes sense with a lot of the Bible stories. It makes sense with the ancient myths. And that it's a gray story, actually, because Jack is a thief who goes into heaven to steal knowledge from the gods, basically. And so in our version, what we do is I play with that, where I reference the idea of the fallen angels and the fallen giants, and this idea that in some ways there's something suspicious about what he's doing, although we all tend to do that, but there's something suspicious about it.
All right, coming up more with Jonathan Pascio. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So earlier this month, we had the opportunity to sit down with Jonathan Pazur, you know, from Jordan Peterson's show and from our series, Foundations of the West, over at Daily Wire Plus. Terrific analyst of everything from biblical texts to fairy tales. Here's some of what it sounded like. One of the things that's fascinating about what you're doing in reexamining these fairy tales, it demonstrates how they can also be emptied of all meaning. So you mentioned that the early Disney fairy tales are replete with tremendous darkness. I mean, if you watch the original Snow White from Disney, it is incredibly dark. I mean, if you show it to your kids, this was rated G. People were scared in the theaters. Kids were crying. Like, it's a real thing. And now, because we basically have said that children should never experience anything that scares them or that upsets them, many parents will never show their kids anything like the old Disney movies. The old Disney movies, again, if you watch Pinocchio, Pinocchio is scary as hell. I mean, truly, it is frightening. I mean, there are children turning into donkeys and being caged forever. I mean, it's really, really scary. And then you fast forward to kind of the fairy tales as they're retold today, and now it's all kind of the same theme. It's always some young girl who is becoming self-empowered and never really has to face a villain. It turns out there really isn't a villain. There's just somebody who's sort of misunderstood.
Yeah, sure.
And then eventually everybody, you know, it all comes out right in the end because she's found her inner sense of confidence, and then the world is somehow a better place. And that's the story of pretty much every single one of the Disney fairy tales for the last 10 years. So you can see the transition in American life in how these fairy tales are told.
Yeah, and you're totally right. Not only that, but there is a type of arrogance, which is that we're going to transform the fairy tales. We're going to twist them. We're going to change them into something that's ideologically aligned with what we want. But the truth is that the fairy tales are not ideological at all. They offer a full story, and you can see different aspects of humanity in these fairy tales, and they're not political in the base sense, right? You know, it's about really deep relationships of a children to hierarchy, about how, you know, how to integrate the world and how to be excluded from the world. All of these really powerful and important statements, like we can see that Disney is, they don't know what to do with Snow White. They just don't know what to do with it. They're stuck because they don't understand it, first of all. And then they think they understand it because they think it's all about patriarchy and about politics. But they don't understand how it is a coming of age story of a young girl, and that young girls in the real world, coming of age also means encountering someone with which they're going to found a family. Without that, you the world runs out of people. Like, if it's just about empowering yourself and being independent, then the world runs out of people in the end.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the amazing things that, again, I think that the left-wing political ethos has taken over so many of these stories. My favorite example in terms of sort of the Disney arc, and again, I'm an old Disney fan, huge Disney fan. It makes me really sad to the core of my being how Disney has destroyed its own IP and really screwed itself up as a company on behalf of politics. My favorite sort of compare contrast here is the difference between the Jiminy Cricket Pinocchio, always let your conscience be your guide, which is literally a line from the movie. I mean, the entire story of Pinocchio is that the boy who's coming of age refuses to let his conscience be his guide. He has to explore every bad idea. And then finally, he learns that responsibility on behalf of protecting his own family and his father is actually the way that you become a real boy, right? The way that you actually mature in the world is to take on responsibility and duty and act with conscience as opposed to going to Pleasure Island, right? I mean, like the thematic could not be clearer in the original Pinocchio. And you take that and then you contrast that with the immorality of the most popular song of the last 20 years from Disney, Let It Go, which is entirely about, there's literally a line in there that says, no right, no wrong, no rules, I'm free. Which is about as pagan as an ethos as possible to find. You can see the arc of American morality in about 60 years right there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're right. And that's why they don't know what to do with the fairy tales, because the fairy tales just don't play that game. They're deep reflections of reality that have been built up over millennia, you know, and we have to treat them with respect, and because if not, they're going to turn against us, you know. And even what happens is that when you twist the fairy tales, you end up saying things that you don't even know you're saying because you don't even understand the how fraught it is to play with these patterns and to just kind of twist them as you want. And it will turn against us, you know. Like I said, the idea of people don't realize that the idea of the self-made person, you know, that is not how civilization functions. We need each other. And so if you think it's ridiculous that the princess ends with the prince or that a movie ends with a marriage, it's like, that's how the world functions. That's how the world works. If you just want to explore your own personal desires and doing that, you're not going to, you're basically going, it's an anti-human stance. And it leads to anti-human results.
it's one of the things that, again, I think it goes back to much what you're talking about with fairy tales, but I've talked about this theory that it's always pretentious to say that you've coined a theory. So I haven't really coined this theory, but it's what I've termed role theory, which is the idea that all of religion is really, and all of culture is built around particular roles that are universal to human beings. And we as a society have decided that roles are bad. Roles are impositions from the outside. What we really are is that free-floating, authentic desire, and that any roles, because roles come with rules, is an imposition on us, and therefore we have to explode those rules and explode those rules in order to live a free and full life. When in reality, the roles are what makes us who we are, and what pretty much every fairy tale is about, and what every great story is about, is a person reconciling and making the most of the role that has been laid out for them. And the world pre-exists you, and you're born into a role the minute that you're born. And I mentioned this with regard to, you know, the religious community I know best. The Jewish community, when you do a Brit Milah, when you enter a child into the covenant at 8 days old with an actual mark in their flesh, when you do that thing, you literally say that the child is entering the community, and you say that the child should enter the community by going from this to fulfillment of the commandments to the chuppah, to getting married, right? This is like this is the path that we're laying out for you at 8 days old, right? Because you're born into a thing, and those roles are pre-laid out for you. And you have liberty to live out, you know, choices within those roles. But the minute that liberty becomes a universal act that destroys the roles, the minute that that happens, it's no longer liberty. Now it's libertinism, and everything descends into chaos.
Yeah, and it's the same with just even basic citizenship. We tend to understand citizenship as a right, but citizenship in the ancient world was understood as a role. That is, you are a member of this group, but it also means that you are responsible for the group, and you're asked to participate in the body, or else what? Like you exactly, we're just a bunch of the suburbs, right? We're just a bunch of people laid out on land that have nothing to do with each other, that have no common goals, no common purposes. And that's the fragmentation that we're seeing in North American society.
And you mentioned citizenship, and it's really fascinating. I was rereading a book by Victor Davis Hanson about culture, and I think it's called Carnage and Culture. And the basic idea is why the West wins wars. And he lays out a description of ancient Greek citizenship. And the basic idea that he points out is that what made you a citizen, you had private property, and because you had private property, you were expected to defend the private property. When somebody came knocking, the entire phalanx would go out and just eviscerate everyone. And so the Western way of making war was, here is our state. We're all going to go out. We're all going to eviscerate them. We're not going to take prisoners. We're not going to be nice. We're going to eviscerate them so we can go back to farming. And then, but it was a duty. The duty was you pick up your spear and you'll be part of the phalanx. And you can see how that's shifted in Western civilization to now arguments over who has a right to serve. Well, I mean, what do you mean a right to serve? That's such a bizarre statement. A duty to serve is a thing that you have. A right to serve is a very weird thing to claim, because usually the service is in fact in service of the right, meaning you do your duty so that you have the other side of the coin, which is the right, right? You have a right to property because you did your duty, not you have a right to serve and no private property. It's such a weird reversal of everything that was traditional.
Yeah, but I think it is in some ways it's a difference in the way we understand the human person, and it has to do, I mean, it's a kind of diabolical insight, which is that I'm owed this, I'm owed whatever, I'm owed the rights, I'm owed this, I'm owed pleasure, I'm owed all of this, and then ultimately what really is I should be God. Like, that's the ultimate thing that's behind it, is that I don't like God because really I should have that too. And so it is right that it's that move in the garden, right? It's the move of Eve and Adam and Eve that reach up and take the apple for themselves, instead of understanding that they are tenders of the garden, and whatever they receive from God. It's not for them to just take upon themselves. And it has to do with, I mean, it's funny because that's to do with Jack. Like, this Jack story, this is why, you know, in some ways he's going up to just take it. He just goes up and takes it for himself. We really have this idea that that's how the world functions. Like, whatever you need, you have to go and take it for yourself. But that's not, like you said, it's not the deepest form, right? Anybody who's a father knows that the deepest thing is to give. Like, the deepest thing is to be responsible for these people and to be able to be a model and to give to those around you so that we can come together. If we just think of taking, then, yeah, we end up all alone, basically.
You also have a duty to a history that precedes you and to descendants who are going to be there long after you. I mean, this is Edmund Burke's point, is that basically civilization is a contract between those who have died and those who are not yet born. I mean, the idea that you are a freewheeling, atomistic individual is such a negative. All right, coming up more with Jonathan Pashow, this is The Ben Shapiro Show.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals, and the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
Wildfire season is upon us. Being prepared saves lives. Develop and practice an evacuation plan with your household. Stay informed about local fire conditions and follow evacuation orders if issued. Know your evacuation zone. Go to ShastCom911.com. Click on Be Prepared, Know Your Zone. Type in your address and write it down in case of emergency. You can also sign up for Alert Shasta at ShastCom911.com.
If you haven't been listening to TV Confidential, this is who you're missing.
Louis Gossett Jr.
Eric Braden.
Danson Williams.
Burt Ward.
Peter Marshall.
Lindsay Wagner.
Loretta Swit.
Michelle Nichols.
Shirley Jones.
Louise Sorrell.
Good answer. A lovely and chatty interview. Conversation, it wasn't an interview.
Well, thank you. That's what I try to do. I try to make this a conversation.
You made it.
That's TV Confidential.
Saturday morning at 11 on
KCNR. KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530 630-
605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive, and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Tax professional.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So earlier this month, we had the opportunity to sit down with Jonathan Pagia, you know, from Jordan Peterson's show and from our series, Foundations of the West, over at Daily Wire Plus. Terrific analyst of everything from biblical texts to fairy tales. Here's some of what it sounded like. One of the things that you've been doing, and of course, Jordan Peterson has been doing, bringing focus to the mysterious and the symbolic as a source of truth is really, really important, because there's been a sort of bifurcation that arose as a fact of the Enlightenment, that the Enlightenment was reason, and then on the other side, he had sort of romantic symbolism. And so the romantic symbolists went in the direction of pure authenticity, pure autonomy, the sort of romantic notion that, again, all meaning was to be held internally, and that you had to search in the inners of your heart to find reality, as opposed to Enlightenment, which said, okay, here's a set of facts, and then we're going to analyze those facts, and we're going to determine whether those facts are useful or true or not. What you're doing is something quite different, which is you're saying, there's a set of established symbols, and these symbols predate you. They're not to be found in your heart. They're to be found outside there, and we need to explore that for deeper truths. And it is astonishing that doing some of the stuff that you do, which to sort of the layman seems abstruse, has met with this kind of sort of, I would say, success and enthusiasm.
Yeah, it is surprising. I never would have been able to plan that talking about symbols the way I do would lead to me being able to do this for a living. It's pretty astounding. But I think that's really hit the nail right. That is, one of the problems that happened in the modern age, and it happened in Christianity, sadly, is this kind of division between meaning and fact, right? So you have, even now today, you have like the more fundamentalist, let's say, Christians that think that what's in the Bible is something that really happened. And then you have the more liberal type of theologian that say, oh, it's all kind of meaning and allegory and, you know, and metaphor. And, you know, like, why can't they just be both at the same time? That is the most, I think that's even the deepest Christian way of seeing it, that this notion of an incarnational vision, right? That the highest things and the lowest things actually come together and manifest in particulars. And so for me, the fact that in the Bible, the things that I described there are all things that happen, it's just not a problem. You know, they just happen to not be describing them in the way that maybe you expect them to be described. They're not describing them in a way that modern historians would recognize as a threshold of whatever historicity. But who cares? Like, I'm not interested in your modern definitions. They're describing events that happened in the best way possible in order to render their meaning in a universal manner that can go on through the ages, right? So how do you describe what happened in Genesis, in the creation of the world? How do you describe the origin of the world in a way that includes meaning and purpose and morality? It's Genesis 1. It doesn't describe the Big Bang. The Big Bang is a lower form of description because it doesn't tell you how to live. Describing, you know, this explosion that happened before time and space doesn't explain to you what it means to exist. But if you want to tell a real origin, one that has any relevance, you have to include in it the meaning order of the universe and the moral order of the universe. And that's Genesis 1. I mean, it's Genesis 1 to 3, let's say. And that's the best way to describe the origin of the world. Did it happen? Yes, it happened. Did it happen in a scientific way? No. And who cares? Why do you think that that's the highest way of describing an event? It's not.
I mean, that's especially true because, again, if you read the first three chapters of Genesis, I mean, there wasn't a dude named Adam. The word Adam means man. I mean, it's used all over the Bible to mean man. That's the Hebrew meaning of the word Adam, right? And Eve is only named Eve by Adam after she provides life. I mean, like, these names are clearly meant to imbue vast symbolism. They're not meant to, it's not like there was this guy named George and he lived in a garden where he did some gardening, and then there was this weird garden snake and he was talking like that. That's not what the story is about. And I think that because, you know, we've, again, reduced the world to sort of, as Bertrand Russell would say, sort of a place of facts, yeah, that we're then surprised when we lack meaning, and then when we're unable to construct our own meaning. And so what that means is that even the things that, that clearly are supposed to be symbolic have been turned sterile. And so you see this all over the place, the hijacking of traditional symbolism and their use for literally sterile things. So the most obvious example would be the Olympics opening ceremony, where they're using the symbolism of Jesus and the 12 disciples to promote homosexuality and transgenderism. I mean, it's literally taking the message of Christianity and turning it into a hedonistic, sexually sterile promotion tool. It's amazing.
Not just cannibalistic. There's a cannibalistic, because, you know, everybody knows that the myth of Dionysus has this part of it. It's called the sparagmos, which is the ripping apart of the king, right? It's like, it is this frenetic orgiastic, energy that destroys the hierarchy. That's what it is, right? It rips the king, the women rip the king into pieces. And this whole imagery, it's like, it was perfect. This is the thing that we have to understand, Ben, is that the kind of psycho progressive, like the really fringe, the hard leftists, they understand symbolism very well. They intuitively have the right, they know what they're doing. And so the coherence of the symbolism of that scene was absolutely right. It's right to their purpose, which is to the complete destruction of all identity and of all purpose. And so it's like once you see that, it's really important for us to recapture those stories and to recapture the symbolism, because we're faced with things that often we've lost our weapons against. And so how do you deal with something that's presented to you imagistically, right? It's like the scene in the opening of the Olympics. It wasn't a political statement. It was presented imagistically in story terms with certain cultural elements. And so we try to answer politically, but when you do that, they just say, well, no, you're misunderstanding. And then they start to gaslight and to shift. What we need to learn to do, and that's why I don't talk about politics that much. I talk about stories and I try to tell stories, is because that's the best way to answer. The best way to answer, because the real stories, the true stories, the one that are embodied in fairy tales or the Bible or even the ancient myths, these stories that have been with us for millennia and that kind of uphold our civilization, if we can understand them and then present them again to the world in a way that is clear, then those stories win, because they're the true stories.
One of the things that you've been talking about lately is the symbolism of conspiracy theories. And this is really interesting, because obviously we now have a society that's rife with conspiracy theories. I was talking with someone the other day, and it's been a weird ride, because as somebody who really, really strongly does not believe in conspiracy theories, because I think it generally assumes a level of confidence on the part of human beings that is nearly never present in human beings. But there obviously have been things that that elites in our society have done that, if done not intentionally, very much mimic conspiracy theories. They very much look like top-down, contain and control attempts to really, you know, take control of the levers of society. Obviously, the most obvious example being COVID. And I think that has now expanded itself so that we're now in a world where that has been used as a tool by people who legitimately are full-time conspiracy theorists to basically say, you can't trust your own eyes, trust me, which is the dangerous, a really dangerous form of demagoguery, is to be wrong about 99 out of 100 conspiracies. You're right about one. And this is supposed to now legitimize the other 99 conspiracy theories that you hold. So if it turns out that the elites in the society were having sex parties in New York while locking down New York, then that also means the moon landing isn't real. And that also means that there's an elite cadre of people meeting at the synagogues on Friday night to determine the weather patterns, right? Like that, there's this willingness for human beings that once the switch is flipped, that now you believe all the things, because you can't believe anything. So you may as well believe, you know, the worst about every single thing. However, what do you make of the prevalence of conspiracy theories, and where do you bring symbolism into all this?
Well, the first thing to understand about conspiracy theories is that the first thing they represent to us is that we don't trust our leaders. We don't trust the elites. That's the first thing. And so you can take the most extreme version and you can understand it. The idea of the lizard people, I actually kind of like that one, because it's quite coherent, right? That is, our leaders are lizard people. Our elites are lizard people. And you think, okay, that's just insane, right? No, I mean, I don't believe that they're genetically lizard people that are the elites. But if you just pull back one step and you look at the image, what it's revealing to you is that the elites have another allegiance. Their allegiance is to themselves. They have their own world that is one that is strange and foreign to me. that I don't understand. They have their own purposes that aren't related to helping us and to being what leaders should be, which is, you know, shepherds helping the world in which they are. And they have their own intentions that are obscure and are snake-like. And that's why you come up with a conspiracy theory like that. And the thing is that true? Well, I think that is true, you know, because it's not true out of a concentrated desire necessarily to make it happen. It's true because of the way in which because of technology, because of all kinds of things, the way our society sets itself up, which is that the elites have nothing to give to the people anymore, right? In an ancient Roman world, if you were an aristocrat, you had to build public buildings. You had to do public things. If you didn't, at some point, they're going to kill you. Like, they really are. They're just going to go to your house and get rid of you if you don't participate in the common good of society. But now we have these weird world of finance and, like, completely isolated elites that we don't even know who they are, but that they can act on us and they can have massive amounts of power without us knowing.
All right, coming up more with Jonathan Pashow. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Celebrate Thanksgiving at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy home-style turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us Thanksgiving Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holidays special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
The Reading Fashion Alliance is dedicated to making sewing, fashion, and business education accessible for everyone. We are a nonprofit located at 1616 Market Street. Get ready for November 9th as we present Artisan Avenue, The Craft of Fashion. Experience a runway of a blend of couture fashion to wearable art. Tickets will be available starting October 1st on our website at readingfashionalliance.org. Our call for fashion designers for Artisan Avenue is open until August 31st. Visit our website for more information on how to enter into the fashion show.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So earlier this month, we had the opportunity to sit down with Jonathan Pashow, you know, from Jordan Peterson's show and from our series, Foundations of the West, over at Daily Wire Plus. Terrific analyst of everything from biblical texts to fairy tales. Here's some of what it sounded like. It's interesting when you talk about, you know, the kind of lizard people symbolism. Obviously, the snake at the beginning of Genesis is a lizard, right? The snake doesn't walk on its stomach. The snake actually has feet and hands. So, I mean, it's a lizard. And so the basic idea of, you know, the satanic impulse, the sort of I ought to be in control. You ought to be in control. Our morality supplants for God. I mean, maybe one way to fight the sort of conspiracism is to say that there is a part of us that is all lizard people, right? I mean, it's not as though there is a genetic cadre of human beings who are more likely to be the lizards. It's not as though, you know, there's elites who are gathering together and then they decide, okay, it's time to strip off our skins and underneath is the satanic lizard. It's more like that's always been a part of humanity, that there's a part of all of us. I mean, it's sort of like the argument that's been made historically with regard to, for example, the death of Jesus, right? The anti-Semites historically have suggested, well, the Jews bear the guilt of the death of Jesus down to today because it was the Jews who killed Jesus. Whereas the explanation that I've been given by my Christian friends, at least, is yes, the Jews were involved of the time in the killing of Jesus, as were the Romans, as were everyone, meaning that the idea is that everyone was involved in the killing of Jesus, which is why supposedly, you know, according to Christian theology, his blood washes everybody clean, is that the entire story is one of the guilt of humanity washed away by Christ's death.
I mean, I think that's right. But it's also good. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And this is the thing about corruption, is that someone who complains about the evil elites and how, in what they're doing, and that doesn't pay their taxes, right, or cheats on their taxes or does whatever. It's like corruption happens at every single level, right? And we justify our corruption, you know, people who don't, you know, pay, you know, we have it here. Like construction worker come to my house, he'll always ask me, do you want a receipt or don't you want a receipt? And it's like corruption is endemic at every level. So that's definitely something we have to understand. But I think it's good to recognize, for example, COVID was a good example. You know, we don't have to believe in absolute top-down control to notice that evil things are happening, right? All you need is motivation. You just need aligned motivation for things to manifest themselves the way they happen in COVID. So it's not like the people at the top are like, we're going to just tell everybody what to do and to close the hospitals and everything. But if you give incentive for people to act, they will act together with that incentive. And so I also don't tend to believe in absolute top-down conspiracies, but I do think that there are people that believe that we should move towards, let's say, something like a world government. I don't know exactly how to phrase it, or more internationalist vision. And that even though they didn't plan, I don't think anybody planned COVID happened or whatever, but then it was an opportunity to put into place certain things that they already wanted to put into place. And so I really do believe that, because, you know, I've been aware of people developing different types of like tracking systems and stuff like that for a very long time, you know, for decades, you know, that's been going on. And so once the COVID happened, the social credit system's already installed in China. And so let's have a little version of it here and see what happens, because, you know, we really need to be controlled by our big state mother, and maybe even more than our big state mother. So I do think that it's important to kind of see and to understand, for example, the idea that it is possible for our elites to not be aligned towards us, but to be aligned towards other purposes. And that's what corruption is, by the way, all the time, right? When someone receives a bribe, that's what's going on. It's a lizard people situation. You receive a bribe, it means that now you're acting towards the purpose that the person that gave you the bribe, and you're not acting in the position that you were put there to be. And so it's a good, that does exist, right? Corruption, that type of corruption does exist.
So one of the things that's happened, I think, also is, you know, when we talk about symbolism, there has been a purposeful attempt, you mentioned it earlier, to sort of unmoor all the symbolism that is inherently understood by human beings from its traditional rootings and flip it in reverse. And so this is one of the reasons, it's funny. So half my wife's family is Moroccan. They come from Morocco. In Morocco, big into mysticism in sort of the Jewish sense. Big into symbolism and mysticism, and that's one of the things that they really are into. You know, again, I'm more rationalist in my approach to religion, but there is something to the correlation between the willingness to be into those sorts of things and the willingness to just call bullshit on dumb stuff. So the rationalists among us, something dumb will be uttered, some proposition that makes no sense will be uttered, and we'll try to come up with 300 reasons why that's a really, really dumb proposition. And meanwhile, my Moroccan, you know, in-laws will just be like, that's stupid. And then they'll laugh at it. And it turns out that that's a healthier response. And I think that one of the attempts to undermine the symbolism is an attempt to undermine that gut reaction. If you can discombobulate people from the symbolic felt roots of their civilization and make them not even understand what those symbols are about, they can't just take as granted the world around them anymore. If you can reverse the symbolism of male and female, for example, then it becomes a lot easier to get away with propositions like a male can be a female.
No, you're right, especially that one. I mean, the desire to deconstruct the basic male-female opposite that is set up, you know, in the beginning of Genesis is going at the very core of reality, right? Like, if we can take that, then we can define everything, that we can decide what everything is, you know, and humanity is indefinitely programmable. But that's impossible. Like, it's not going to happen. It will lead to the kinds of, I mean, if we go too far into these directions, it'll lead to the kind of madness we saw in the 20th century, you know, where we think we can just make humans into whatever system that we devise, but that's not true. The problem that we have now, and in some ways the ancients didn't explain symbolism. You know, 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, they didn't explain it. They were just living in it. And they would use it in their structures, right? They would use different analogies. They would use different ways of seeing. And the fact that I have to explain symbolism, or that my brother, or Jordan Peterson, or whoever, we try to explain symbolism, is actually a sign of disease. It means that we have been deconstructed so much that things like you said, that your in-laws would, in just with normal insight, would not be able to explain how, why. They just know, okay, that's right, that's wrong. Like, this is not a good portrait of the world. But sadly, because the education system has been so deconstructive that now we have to explain it, because without it, we have, and the thing, like I said, the woke really madness is that they understand symbolism. And they give you just enough that's true that it does create insight in people, right? Like, think about the idea of fluidity, or the idea of the rainbow, and the notion of multiplicity. All that symbolism. There's a reality to that, right? There is a sense, there is an aspect of the world that is fluid. There is an aspect of the world that is not defined, right? That is in the corners of the field again, or that, you know, is the day of non-work. Like, we have all this type of symbolism, things that shouldn't be part of the rational work part, right? And so if you can understand that and weaponize it, we have to have better answers than just, like you said, just giving arguments against it. We have to be able to give a better participative thing.
The sort of soft social imposition of normality, which existed for nearly all of human history, right? The things that we all took for granted in nearly every civilization, that existed in the most part without compulsion. Right? There wasn't any compulsion to form a family and have kids. That was all, you know, social institutions, and you had a family, and it's what your friends and family did. It wasn't like there was a law that said, okay, now it's time for you to get married, now it's time for you to have kids, and you must have 3.2 kids. But you do need real cultural enforcement mechanisms to enforce the opposite, because nature rebels against it. Nature, I mean, and you're seeing this in the spiraling birth rates of the West. That's nature saying, you guys are doing this wrong, because it turns out that a civilization that can't procreate is a civilization that definitionally is dying.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And you can see it, like you said, in the 60s or in the 50s, you know, we could have argued that maybe this is going to be greater, that this is going to create more joy and more prosperity and everything. But now we have the results, like we have them. We know what it looks like. It looks like lack of children, you know, decreasing birth rate. It looks like depression. It looks like people having less sex than they've ever had in the known history. It's like, how could emphasizing all your pleasures and hedonism and everything lead to people having less sex? Well, that's how it is. That's the ultimate satanic move, is that, you know, the devil wants, promises you he's going to give you some pleasure. And then the perversion of that is that not only do you not get the pleasure, you get less in the end. Right? It's like you become an alcoholic. You thought you liked alcohol, and by the time you're done, you need it to survive and you hate it, but you still have to take it, and there's no pleasure left. Right? And that's what you're seeing in this, in the kind of pornification and of the world, is that ultimately it's destroying itself through a kind of new weird tyranny.
Yeah. I come back to the word sterility, because it really is incredibly sterile. I mean, the kind of promise that the taboo would become normalized, that means that it is no longer a taboo. And the human mind searches for the taboo. Well, when you blow up every taboo, there are no more taboos. And so once that happens, then what exactly is going to be transgressive? And the answer is normality is now transgressive.
Yeah, that's how it flips back. And that's when the reality just reaffirms itself, is that it becomes a paradox, right? So you move into a world of chaos and a paradox and things that don't make sense. And then finally, the paradox that will end up reverting back to normal is the kind of double the double flip. Like this, my brother talks about this. He talks about this double inversion, which is things turned upside down, and then they, by a new inversion, they turn right side up. And that's what we've seen with the whole funny idea of the conservative punk, right? The idea that if you're going to be rebel today, then you should get married, have kids, have a purpose, you know, have a career. And that's the way that you're the most punk rock is to do that.
Well, Jonathan, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for taking the time. And again, folks, go check out Jonathan's work.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here Monday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Former Israeli ambassador to the United States, Michael Oren, called for the White House to state unequivocally that Jerusalem is not committing genocide in the Gaza Strip after Vice President Kamala Harris appeared to equivocate on the issue. Speaking with the Salem Radio Network, Oren said her remarks set, quote, a very dangerous precedent.
It's not shocking. I've heard it many times from Kamala Harris. I've heard it 10 times from many representatives of the Democratic Party. It's the position of this administration. I think it would be the position of the Obama administration. Nothing surprising about it.
Former Israeli military officer Michael Oren says he was hurt by Kamala Harris' condemnation of Israel.
Personally, as an Israeli, it's disappointing. Because it assumes that, you know, Israel alone can end this war. The war ends when Hamas surrenders. The hostages are free when Hamas gives up.
The former Israeli ambassador was interviewed on the Salem Radio Network. Also at townhall.com, former President Donald Trump visited Texas for his first public campaign event in the state since receiving the Republican nomination. He held a news conference in Austin to talk about border security and says Texas has become Kamala Harris ground zero for backing illegal immigration.
Over the past 4 years, this state has become Kamala's staging ground to import her army of migrant gangs and illegal alien criminals into every state in America, and every state's a border state. You've heard that. It's true.
He later sat down with the country's preeminent and leading podcaster, Joe Rogan. A food poisoning outbreak tied to McDonald's Quarter Pounders has expanded, with at least 75 people sickened in 13 states. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said earlier today that at least 22 people have been hospitalized. One person in Colorado died. No source of the E. coli outbreak has been identified, but officials focusing on onions used on the burgers. More at townhall.com.
To understand the impact this election may have on their retirement savings, in less than 30 days, our entire economy could face a monumental shift that could destroy a huge amount of value many Americans have stored in their 401ks or IRAs. In times like these, the most trusted store of wealth in human history stands out: physical gold and silver. Many Americans have looked to True Gold Republic for help. They specialize in helping those with a 401k, IRA, or other retirement accounts convert their stocks and bonds into physical gold and silver to protect their hard-earned savings. True Gold is offering listeners a free copy of their Election Gold Protection Kit today. To claim yours, call 800-300-GOLD. This information is free and might very well save your comfortable retirement. By acting before the election, you can still make a tax and penalty-free conversion with the help of True Gold's award-winning team. Call 800-300-GOLD. That's 800-300-GOLD. True Gold Republic is not a financial advisor. Consult with your tax advisor before investing. Call 800-300-4653.
To expand on the McDonald's story, as many people have been sickened in the food poisoning, more from Jackie Quinn now.
The Centers for Disease Control says the McDonald's Quarter Pounder food poisoning outbreak is wider than first thought. 75 people have been sickened in 13 states, and one victim died. Investigators are honing in on slivered onions used on the burgers, which came from a California-based grower, Taylor Farms. Teresa Murray with a consumer group, PERG, says the link was likely found from patients' lab testing.
Genome sequencing, where they're able to connect the dots of different people in different cities who get sick, and they're able to do tracing and figure out.
McDonald's has pulled Quarter Pounders from menus in several states. I'm Jackie Quinn.
One man in Colorado died as a result of the outbreak. You'll find more breaking news, analysis, and headlines at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Tragedy in Wyoming's Grand Teton National Park.
A female grizzly bear that delighted visitors in the park has been struck and killed by a vehicle. Authorities say the grizzly was known as number 399 and was loved by photographers, wildlife enthusiasts, and other visitors. And at age 28, the bear was the oldest reproducing female grizzly in the Yellowstone ecosystem. Authorities say the driver in that crash was not hurt. They add a cub was with the grizzly when she was struck and apparently unhurt, but its whereabouts are unknown. Jason Walker reporting.
Four astronauts are back on Earth after a space station mission that lasted almost 8 months. A SpaceX capsule carrying the crew parachuted into the Gulf of Mexico off the Florida coast before dawn today. The three Americans and one Russian should have returned from the International Space Station 2 months ago, but were delayed. More at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we had the opportunity a little bit earlier this month to sit down with Jonathan Pagio. Jonathan is a terrific textual interpreter of fairy tales and the Bible. It was a fascinating conversation. Here's some what it sounded like. Jonathan, it's great to see you.
It's great to see you, Ben.
So let's talk about deep and fun things. You know, I spend most of my time obviously covering the news, covering the election, and it's not particularly deep, and this year it's not particularly fun. It turns out that things are very serious. And it turns out also that the news is transitory. And the thing that you work on day in and day out is the meaning and symbolism of the deepest things in the world. So that means that you're constantly talking about the Bible and symbolism and now fairy tales. I want to start with having you talk a little bit about your work with fairy tales, because that's something that I think most people don't spend any time thinking about. It's embedded deeply with the vast majority of us. I mean, the minute that you say you've written a book about Jack and the Beanstalk, it's Jack and the Fallen Giant. And most of us know the story, obviously. I'd say the vast majority of the population knows the story. But the point that you make is that these stories are embedded in our civilization for a reason. So why don't you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, well, one of the things we've seen, you know, fairy tales have been actually pretty popular in the 20th century. And we've had Disney do amazing things with them for a few generations, like one generation and a half, you could say. But now everybody, the people that were kind of the guardians of our fairy tales have dropped them, it seems. They don't actually want to deal with them. They're icky to them because they have things in them that they can't deal with in terms of their ideology. But they were right in their insight that fairy tales are kind of, you could say, downstream from the Bible. That's the way that I understand them. They use a type of language which is similar to biblical stories, but they're more accessible, and they're accessible to kids. They deal with fantastical images. So sometimes some of the things in the Bible that are hard to grasp because it's kind of dry. The stories in the Bible don't have a lot of description. They don't describe interstates. They're very dry, but they're amazing. Like, they're the best type of stories ever told. And fairy tales are downstream from that, where they use the same patterns and they connect to the same ideas, but they have a little more buffer and they're more accessible for the common people. So that's how I see them. And I take that very seriously. So even you mentioned the title, Jack and the Fallen Giants. One of the reasons why we're doing it that way is because there's a connection between the story of Jack and the Beanstalk and the story of the giants in Genesis, right? And also later in the Old Testament. So we're trying to help people see those connections, and see how the fairy tales aren't just a bunch of ridiculous things that are accumulated together, you know, that are just funny and ridiculous, but they actually have patterns that describe the cosmos in a deep way.
I think that the way that most people think of fairy tales and the way we tell them to our kids, magic is a big part of that story. And religion has always had this very fraught relationship with sort of the idea of magic. Obviously, the Bible itself calls out things like using witchcraft. It's actually a death penalty offense in the Old Testament. And so how should religious people see magic? Because these are kind of ongoing debates, interestingly, in Jewish circles, in Christian circles, you know, about what's real, what's not, what does it mean when it's talking about this sort of stuff, and what's the role of magic in these fairy tales?
Yeah. Well, I think that, especially as modern people, one of the things we can understand magic as, and this is, I think, the way that C.S. Lewis or Tolkien understood magic, as something like the deep connection of the world, right? So there's a deep pattern in the world. There's a type of causality which is higher than the type of causality that, you know, mechanical causation does. Like, there's a type of causality related to meaning. Maybe that's a good way of understanding it. There's a vertical causality. I can say things and they happen. So that's dramatized in stories by something like a spell. You know, like you say something and it happens in the world. But the truth is that you do that all the time. Just ask your child to bring you a glass of water and you basically cause things to happen with meaning. And so I think that's the deepest level of magic that we can understand in those stories. The problem with magic and the way it's described in the Bible is when we try to use patterns of meaning and we try to kind of gain these mysteries of the universe and use them for our own power to predict the future or to you know, to enrich ourselves and to do all that. And that's why these types of things are evil in scripture. But, you know, divination is there in the Bible. Joseph has a divination cup, you know, how do you call it? The Uman and Thuman? I forget how it's pronounced.
Yeah, Urim and Thuman. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so those are divination tools that we don't even know how exactly they function. And so it's not like sometimes when we read that, we read the prohibition against sorcery in the Bible, we think that it means that they're all a bunch of scientists and that anything that was outside of that was unacceptable. It's rather about using the power of meaning to twist reality and to use spiritual powers for your own sake. You could say it that way.
So I think it'd be awesome for you to take me and the listeners through kind of your analysis of one of these fairy tales. So pick one of the fairy tales that you like the best and give us sort of the deep read on it.
We could pick Jack. I think Jack is a good example because also we're just publishing the newest version. And Jack's fun because the thing about Jack is at the outset, it looks ridiculous. Like it's really difficult to see with the connection. Since I was a child, I love that story, but I was always wondering, like, how do we get from these different parts of the story to the others, right? But it's actually, once you kind of understand it, it's deeply coherent. And so, like a lot of the stories, Jack is a coming-of-age story at the outset, right? There is, and this is also the thing that's difficult about a lot of Puritan interpretation of fairy tales, is they try to get rid of the coming-of-age and sometimes sexual imagery that's in the fairy tale. By doing that, they miss a whole part of it. Now, the other part, like the more progressive types, let's say, in the 20th century, have tried to emphasize just sexuality. But that's also wrong. It's both. Just like in the Bible, there's a bunch of sexual symbolism. But it's not just about sex. It's about how sexuality can show us a deeper meaning and a deeper participation. So you see that in Jack. So basically, Jack doesn't have a father, and his mother's poor, right? And so she's the poor woman. She's the widow in the story of Elijah. She's someone who doesn't have anything coming from heaven, you know, to give her an identity and to hold her together. And so Jack has to trade the cow. He has to trade the feminine for seed. And it happens about at the time that he's at that age where that's going to happen to him, where he's going to kind of leave his mother. His body's going to develop. He's going to discover masculinity. But it's magic seed. Seeds are magic in themselves. Like they don't even have to be magic seeds. They're the difference between a cow that gives you milk and seeds that you can plant in the ground, and then they give you a whole bunch of food forever if you're able to do it right. So that's what's going on in that story. He plants the seeds at night, and he wakes up with a giant beanstalk. There is a little bit of a sexual illusion there about him discovering masculinity. He climbs the beanstalk, and then he encounters a giant. And so in encountering the giant, he basically encounters the problem of masculinity, the problem of hierarchy, the idea of trying to integrate a world of masculinity when you're coming of age. Anybody knows that? You have to join a team, or you have to do anything, you have to prove yourself, and the other men are giants to you. So then, but he has a problem. His mother's poor, and that's one of the problems that he's trying to deal with, the poor mother. And so he finds a bag of gold. He steals that from the giant, brings it to his mother. You think the problem solved, right? He found a bag of gold, solved the problem, but then the gold runs out. So what's better than gold, right? What's better than gold is the way you make gold. If you can produce gold, then it's much better than gold. So he goes back up and he gets a chicken that lays golden eggs. He's reached a higher level of understanding, like a higher pattern of masculinity, a higher pattern of civilization, just a higher pattern of how the world functions. Brings that down to his mother. But again, that's not enough, it seems. He has to find something else. And then when he goes back up, the last thing he finds is a golden harp that plays music. So you think, what the hell? Like, what is the relationship between the gold, the chicken that lays golden eggs, and the harp? But it's once you understand that what he's getting from heaven is something like patterns. He's getting patterns of being. So you think of Moses that goes up the mountain, right? What does he get when he gets to the top? He gets at the top. He gets a pattern of being. That's what the law is. He gets a pattern of space. That's what the pattern of the tabernacle is. And so this is what he's getting. He's getting patterns of being. And now he gets the highest pattern. For all intents and purposes, he gets what we call the music of the spheres. Basically, the pattern of everything is what he's attaining, right? The logos itself, if you want to use another type of language. And so he steals that from his mother, and then he comes back down, and then he cuts the beanstalk, and the beanstalk falls. And so now he's gotten from heaven, but it's a weird Promethean story. It's actually a little suspicious because he's stealing these things from heaven. So there's something of a Promethean element to what he's doing, which is he's going into up Mount Olympus and he's stealing the fire from the gods and bringing them to earth. And so once you kind of understand, you can see that it's totally coherent. It makes sense with a lot of the Bible stories. It makes sense with the ancient myths. And that it's a gray story, actually, because Jack is a thief who goes into heaven to steal knowledge from the gods, basically. And so in our version, what we do is I play with that, where I reference the idea of the fallen angels and the fallen giants, and this idea that in some ways there's something suspicious about what he's doing, although we all tend to do that, but there's something suspicious about it.
All right, coming up more with Jonathan Pascio, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. But that's not all. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you will find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. And it's election season, so don't forget to vote.
Hi, this is Linda Fox.
Scott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So earlier this month, we had the opportunity to sit down with Jonathan Pajo, you know, from Jordan Peterson's show and from our series, Foundations of the West, over at Daily Wire Plus. Terrific analyst of everything from biblical texts to fairy tales. Here's some of what it sounded like. One of the things that's fascinating about what you're doing in reexamining these fairy tales, it demonstrates how they can also be emptied of all meaning. So you mentioned that the early Disney fairy tales are replete with tremendous darkness. I mean, if you watch the original Snow White from Disney, it is incredibly dark. I mean, if you show it to your kids, this was rated G. People were scared in the theaters. Kids were crying. Like, it's a real thing. And now, because we basically have said that children should never experience anything that scares them or that upsets them, many parents will never show their kids anything like the old Disney movies. The old Disney movies, again, if you watch Pinocchio is scary as hell. I mean, truly, it is frightening. I mean, there are children turning into donkeys and being caged forever. I mean, it's really, really scary. And then you fast forward to kind of the fairy tales that are retold today, and now it's all kind of the same theme. It's always some young girl who is becoming self-empowered and never really has to face a villain. It turns out there really isn't a villain. There's just somebody who's sort of misunderstood. And then eventually everybody, you know, it all comes out right in the end because she's found her inner sense of confidence, and then the world is somehow a better place. And that's the story of pretty much every single one of the Disney fairy tales for the last 10 years. So you can see the transition in American life in how these fairy tales are told.
Yeah, and you're totally right. Not only that, but there is a type of arrogance, which is that we're going to transform the fairy tales. We're going to twist them. We're going to change them into something that's ideologically aligned with what we want. But the truth is that the fairy tales are not ideological at all. They offer a full story, and you can see different aspects of humanity in these fairy tales, and they're not political in the base sense, right? You know, it's about really deep relationships of a children to hierarchy, about how, you know, how to integrate the world and how to be excluded from the world. All of these really powerful and important statements, like we can see that Disney is, they don't know what to do with Snow White. They just don't know what to do with it. They're stuck because they don't understand it, first of all. And then they think they understand it because they think it's all about patriarchy and about politics. But they don't understand how it is a coming of age story of a young girl, and that young girls in the real world, coming of age also means encountering someone with which they're going to found a family. Without that, the world runs out of people. Like, if it's just about empowering yourself and being independent, then the world runs out of people in the end.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the amazing things that, again, I think that the left-wing political ethos has taken over so many of these stories. My favorite example in terms of sort of the Disney arc, and again, I'm an old Disney fan, huge Disney fan. It makes me really sad to the core of my being how Disney has destroyed its own IP and really screwed itself up as a company on behalf of politics. My favorite sort of compare contrast here is the difference between the Jiminy Cricket Pinocchio, always let your conscience be your guide, which is literally a line from the movie. I mean, the entire story of Pinocchio is that the boy who's coming of age refuses to let his conscience be his guide. He has to explore every bad idea. And then finally he learns that responsibility on behalf of protecting his own family and his father is actually the way that you become a real boy, right? The way that you actually mature in the world is to take on responsibility and duty and act with conscience as opposed to going to Pleasure Island, right? I mean, like the thematic could not be clearer in the original Pinocchio. And you take that and then you contrast that with the immorality of the most popular song of the last 20 years from Disney, Let It Go, which is entirely about, there's literally a line in there that says, no right, no wrong, no rules, I'm free. Which is about as pagan as an ethos as possible to find. You can see the arc of American morality in about 60 years right there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're right, and that's why they don't know what to do with the fairy tales, because the fairy tales just don't, they don't play that game. They're deep reflections of reality that have been built up over millennia, you know, and we have to treat them with respect, and because if not, they're going to turn against us, you know. And even what happens is that when you twist the fairy tales, you end up saying things that you don't even know you're saying, because you don't even understand the how fraught it is to play with these patterns and to just kind of twist them as you want. And it'll turn against us, you know. Like I said, the idea of, people don't realize that the idea of the self-made person, you know, that is not how civilization functions. We need each other. And so if you think it's ridiculous that the princess ends with the prince, or that a movie ends with a marriage, it's like, that's how the world functions. That's how the world works. If you just want to explore your own personal desires and doing that, you're basically going, it's an anti-human stance, and it leads to anti-human results.
It's one of the things that again, I think it goes back to much what you're talking about with fairy tales, but I've talked about this theory that it's always pretentious to say that you've coined a theory. So I haven't really coined this theory, but it's what I've termed role theory, which is the idea that all of religion is really, and all of culture is built around particular roles that are universal to human beings. And we as a society have decided that roles are bad. Roles are impositions from the outside. What we really are is that free floating, authentic desire, and that any roles, because roles come with rules, is an imposition on us. And therefore we have to explode those rules and explode those rules in order to live a free and full life. When in reality, the roles are what makes us who we are, and what pretty much every fairy tale is about, and what every great story is about, is a person reconciling and making the most of the role that has been laid out for them. The world pre-exists you, and you're born into a role the minute that you're born. And I mentioned this with regard to, you know, the religious community I know best, the Jewish community. When you do a Brit Milah, when you enter a child into the covenant at 8 days old with an actual mark in their flesh, when you do that thing, you literally say that the child is entering the community, and you say that the child should enter the community by going from this to fulfillment of the commandments to the chuppah, to getting married, right? This is like this is the path that we're laying out for you at 8 days old, right? Because you're born into a thing, and those roles are pre-laid out for you, and you have liberty to live out, you know, choices within those roles. But the minute that liberty becomes a universal app that destroys the roles, the minute that happens, it's no longer liberty. Now it's libertinism, and everything descends into chaos.
Yeah, and it's the same with just even basic citizenship. We tend to understand citizenship as a right, but citizenship in the ancient world was understood as a role. That is, you are a member of this group, but it also means that you are responsible for the group, and you're asked to participate in the body, or else what? Like you exactly. We're just a bunch of the suburbs, right? We're just a bunch of people laid out on land that have nothing to do with each other, that have no common goals, no common purposes. And that's the fragmentation that we're seeing in North American society.
And you mentioned citizenship, and it's really fascinating. I was rereading a book by Victor Davis Hanson about culture, and I think it's called Carnage and Culture. And the basic idea is why the West wins wars. And he lays out a description of ancient Greek citizenship. And the basic idea that he points out is that what made you a citizen, you had private property, and because you had private property, you were expected to defend the private property. When somebody came knocking, the entire phalanx would go out and just eviscerate everyone. And so the Western way of making war was, here is our state. We're all going to go out. We're all going to eviscerate them. We're not going to take prisoners. We're not going to be nice. We're going to eviscerate them so we can go back to farming. And then, but it was a duty. The duty was, you pick up your spear and you'll be part of the phalanx. And you can see how that's shifted in Western civilization to now arguments over who has a right to serve. Well, I mean, what do you mean a right to serve? That's such a bizarre statement. A duty to serve is a thing that you have. A right to serve is a very weird thing to claim, because usually the service is in fact in service of the right, meaning you do your duty so that you have the other side of the coin, which is the right, right? You have a right to property because you did your duty, not you have a right to serve and no private property. It's such a weird reversal of everything that was traditional.
Yeah, but I think it is in some ways it's a difference in the way we understand the human person, and it has to do, I mean, it's a kind of diabolical insight, which is that I'm owed this, I'm owed whatever, I'm owed, I'm owed the rights. I'm owed this. I'm owed pleasure. I'm owed all of this. And then ultimately, what really is I should be God. Like, that's the ultimate thing that's behind it, is that I don't like God because really I should have that too. And so it is right that it's that move in the garden, right? It's the move of Eve and Adam and Eve that reach up and take the apple for themselves instead of understanding that they are tenders of the garden, and whatever they receive from God. It's not for them to just take upon themselves. And it has to do with, I mean, it's funny because it has to do with Jack. Like, this Jack story, this is why, you know, in some ways he's going up to just take it. He just goes up and takes it for himself. We really have this idea that that's how the world functions. Like, whatever you need, you have to go and take it for yourself. But that's not, like you said, it's not the deepest form, right? Anybody who's a father knows that the deepest thing is to give. Like, the deepest thing is to be responsible for these people and to be able to be a model and to give to those around you so that we can come together. If we just think of taking, then, yeah, we end up all alone, basically.
You also have a duty to a history that precedes you and to descendants who are going to be there long after you. I mean, this is Edmund Burke's point, is that basically civilization is a contract between those who have died and those who are not yet born. I mean, the idea that you are a freewheeling, atomistic individual is such a negative. All right, coming up more with Jonathan Pashow, this is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Wildfire season is upon us. Being prepared saves lives. Develop and practice an evacuation plan with your household. Stay informed about local fire conditions and follow evacuation orders if issued. Know your evacuation zone. Go to shascom911.com. Click on Be Prepared, Know Your Zone. Type in your address and write it down in case of emergency. You can also sign up for Alert Shasta at shascom911.com.
9.9 million Americans misuse prescription drugs, with most of the pills coming from family and friends' medicine cabinets. The National Prescription Drug Take Back Day addresses this public health and safety issue. Help us keep prescription drugs out of the hands of our young people. Clean out your medicine cabinets and bring your unused, outdated, and unwanted prescription drugs to the Reading Civic Auditorium on Saturday, October 26, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, contact Chemical People at 241-5958.
The Reading Fashion Alliance is dedicated to making sewing, fashion, and business education accessible for everyone. We are a nonprofit located at 1616 Market Street. Get ready for November 9th as we present Artisan Avenue, The Craft of Fashion. Experience a runway of a blend of couture fashion to wearable art. Tickets will be available starting October 1st on our website at readingfashionalliance.org. Our call for fashion designers for Artisan Avenue is open until August 31st. Visit our website for more information on how to enter into the fashion show.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Tax professional.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So earlier this month, we had the opportunity to sit down with Jonathan Paggio, you know, from Jordan Peterson's show and from our series, Foundations of the West, over at Daily Wire Plus. Terrific analyst of everything from biblical texts to fairy tales. Here's some of what it sounded like. One of the things that you've been doing, and of course, Jordan Peterson has been doing, bringing focus to the mysterious and the symbolic as a source of truth is really, really important, because there's been a sort of bifurcation that arose as a fact of the Enlightenment, that the Enlightenment was reason, and then on the other side, you had sort of romantic symbolism. And so the romantic symbolists went in the direction of pure authenticity, pure autonomy, the sort of romantic notion that, again, all meaning was to be held internally, and that you had to search in the inners of your heart to find reality, as opposed to Enlightenment, which said, okay, here's a set of facts, and then we're going to analyze those facts, and we're going to determine whether those facts are useful or true or not. What you're doing is something quite different, which is you're saying there's a set of established symbols, and these symbols predate you. They're not to be found in your heart. They're to be found outside there, and we need to explore that for deeper truths. And it is astonishing that doing some of the stuff that you do, which to sort of the layman seems abstruse, has met with this kind of sort of, I would say, success and enthusiasm.
Yeah, it is surprising. I never would have been able to plan that talking about symbolism the way I do would lead to me being able to do this for a living. It's pretty astounding. But I think that's really hit the nail right. That is, one of the problems that happened in the modern age, and it happened in Christianity, sadly, is this kind of division between meaning and fact, right? So you have, even now today, you have like the more fundamentalists, let's say, Christians that think that what's in the Bible is something that really happened. And then you have the more liberal type of theologian that say, oh, it's all kind of meaning and allegory and, you know, and metaphor. And, you know, like, why can't they just be both at the same time? That is the most, I think that's even the deepest Christian way of seeing it, that this notion of an incarnational vision, right? That the highest things and the lowest things actually come together and manifest in particulars. And so for me, the fact that in the Bible, the things that I described there are all things that happen, it's just not a problem. You know, they just happen to not be describing them in the way that maybe you expect them to be described. They're not describing them in a way that modern historians would recognize as a threshold of whatever historicity. But who cares? Like, I'm not interested in your modern definitions. They're describing events that happen in the best way possible in order to render their meaning in a universal manner that can go on through the ages, right? So how do you describe what happened in Genesis, in the creation of the world? How do you describe the origin of the world in a way that includes meaning and purpose and morality? It's Genesis 1. It doesn't describe the Big Bang. The Big Bang is a lower form of description because it doesn't tell you how to live. Describing, you know, this explosion that happened before time and space doesn't explain to you what it means to exist. But if you want to tell a real origin, one that has any relevance, you have to include in it the meaning order of the universe and the moral order of the universe. And that's Genesis 1. I mean, it's Genesis 1 to 3, let's say. And that's the best way to describe the origin of the world. Did it happen? Yes, it happened. Did it happen in a scientific way? No. And who cares? Why do you think that that's the highest way of describing an event? It's not.
I mean, that's especially true because, again, if you read the first three chapters of Genesis, I mean, there wasn't a dude named Adam. The word Adam means man. I mean, it's used all over the Bible to mean man. That's the Hebrew meaning of the word Adam, right? And Eve is only named Eve by Adam after she provides life. I mean, like, these names are clearly meant to imbue vast symbolism. They're not meant to, it's not like there was this guy named George and he lived in a garden where he did some gardening and then there was this weird garden snake and he was talking like that. That's not what the story is about. And I think that because, you know, we've again reduced the world to sort of, as Bertrand Russell would say, sort of a place of facts, yeah, that we're then surprised when we lack meaning and then when we're unable to construct our own meaning. And so what that means is that even the things that clearly are supposed to be symbolic have been turned sterile. And so you see this all over the place, the hijacking of traditional symbolism and their use for literally sterile things. So the most obvious example would be the Olympics opening ceremony where they're using the symbolism of Jesus and the 12 disciples to promote homosexuality and transgenderism. I mean, it's literally taking the message of Christianity and turning it into a hedonistic, sexually sterile promotion tool. It's amazing.
Not just cannibalistic. There's a cannibalistic, because, you know, everybody knows that the myth of Dionysus has this part of it. It's called the sparagmos, which is the ripping apart of the king, right? It's like, it is this frenetic orgiastic, energy that destroys the hierarchy. That's what it is, right? It rips the king, the women rip the king into pieces. And so, and this whole imagery, it's like, it was perfect. This is the thing that we have to understand, Ben, is that the kind of psycho progressive, like the really fringe, the hard leftists, they understand symbolism very well. They intuitively have the right, they know what they're doing. And so the coherence of the symbolism of that scene was absolutely right. It's right to their purpose, which is to the complete destruction of all identity and of all purpose. And so it's like you can, once you see that, it's really important for us to recapture those stories and to recapture the symbolism, because we're faced with things that often we've lost our weapons against. And so how do you deal with something that's presented to you imagistically, right? It's like the scene in the opening of the Olympics. It wasn't a political statement. It was presented imagistically in story terms with certain cultural elements. And so we try to answer politically, but when you do that, they just say, well, no, you're misunderstanding. And then they start to gaslight and to shift. What we need to learn to do, and that's why I don't talk about politics that much. I talk about stories and I try to tell stories, is because that's the best way to answer. The best way to answer, because the real stories, the true stories, the one that are embodied in fairy tales or the Bible or even the ancient myths, these stories that have been with us for millennia and that kind of uphold our civilization, if we can understand them and then present them again to the world in a way that is clear, then those stories win because they're the true stories.
One of the things that you've been talking about lately is the symbolism of conspiracy theories. And this is really interesting because obviously we now have a society that's rife with conspiracy theories. I was talking with someone the other day and it's been a weird ride because as somebody who really, really strongly does not believe in conspiracy theories, because I think it generally assumes a level of confidence on the part of human beings that is nearly never present in human beings. But there obviously have been, you know, things that that elites in our society have done that if done not intentionally, very much mimic conspiracy theories. They very much look like top down contain and control attempts to really, you know, take control of the levers of society. Obviously, the most obvious example being COVID. And I think that has now expanded itself so that we're now in a world where that has been used as a tool by people who legitimately are full-time conspiracy theorists to basically say you can't trust your own eyes, trust me, which is the dangerous, a really dangerous form of demagoguery, is to be wrong about 99 out of 100 conspiracies, you're right about one, and this is supposed to now legitimize the other 99 conspiracy theories that you hold. So if it turns out that the elites in the society were having sex parties in New York while locking down New York, then that also means the moon landing isn't real. And that also means that there's an elite cadre of people meeting at the synagogues on Friday night to determine the weather patterns, right? Like that, there's this willingness for human beings that once the switch is flipped, that now you believe all the things because you can't believe anything. So you may as well believe, you know, the worst about every single thing. However, what do you make of the prevalence of conspiracy theories and where do you bring symbolism into all this?
Well, the first thing to understand about conspiracy theories is that the first thing they represent to us is that we don't trust our leaders. We don't trust the elites. That's the first thing. And so you can take the most extreme version and you can understand it. The idea of the lizard people, I actually kind of like that one because it's quite coherent, right? That is, our leaders are lizard people. Our elites are lizard people. And you think, okay, that's just insane, right? No, I mean, I don't believe that they're genetically lizard people that are the elites. But if you just pull back one step and you look at the image, what it's revealing to you is that the elites have another allegiance. Their allegiance is to themselves. They have their own world that is one that is strange and foreign to me, that I don't understand. They have their own purposes that aren't related to helping us and to being what leaders should be, which is, you know, shepherds helping the world in which they are. And they have their own intentions that are obscure and are snake-like. And that's why you come up with a conspiracy theory like that. And the thing is that true? Well, I think that is true, you know, because it's not true out of a concentrated desire necessarily to make it happen. It's true because of the way in which because of technology, because of all kinds of things, where our society sets itself up, which is that the elites have nothing to give to the people anymore, right? In an ancient Roman world, if you were an aristocrat, you had to build public buildings. You had to do public things. If you didn't, at some point, they're going to kill you. Like, they really are. They're just going to go to your house and get rid of you if you don't participate in the common good of society. But now we have these weird world of finance and like completely isolated elites that we don't even know who they are, but that they can act on us and they can have massive amounts of power without us knowing.
Are you coming up more with Jonathan Pascoe? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. But that's not all. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you'll find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. And it's election season, so don't forget to vote.
The Reading Fashion Alliance is dedicated to making sewing, fashion, and business education accessible for everyone. We are a nonprofit located at 1616 Market Street. Get ready for November 9th as we present Artisan Avenue, the craft of fashion. Experience a runway of a blend of couture fashion to wearable art. Tickets will be available starting October 1st on our website at readingfashionalliance.org. Our call for fashion designers for Artisan Avenue is open until August 31st. Visit our website for more information on how to enter into the fashion show.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive, and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So earlier this month, we had the opportunity to sit down with Jonathan Pajo, you know, from Jordan Peterson's show and from our series, Foundations of the West, over at Daily Wire Plus. Terrific analyst of everything from biblical texts to fairy tales. Here's some of what it sounded like. It's interesting when you talk about, you know, the kind of lizard people symbolism. Obviously, the snake at the beginning of Genesis is a lizard, right? The snake doesn't walk on its stomach. The snake actually has feet and hands. So, I mean, it's a lizard. And so the basic idea of, you know, the satanic impulse, the sort of I ought to be in control, you ought to be in control, our morality supplants for God. I mean, maybe one way to fight the sort of conspiracism is to say that there is a part of us that is all lizard people, right? I mean, it's not as though there is a genetic cadre of human beings who are more likely to be the lizards. It's not as though, you know, there's elites who are gathering together and then they decide, okay, it's time to strip off our skins and underneath is the satanic lizard. It's more like that's always been a part of humanity. There's a part of all of us. I mean, it's sort of like the argument that's been made historically with regard to, for example, the death of Jesus, right? The anti-Semites historically have suggested, well, the Jews bear the guilt of the death of Jesus down to today because it was the Jews who killed Jesus. Whereas the explanation that I've been given by my Christian friends, at least, is yes, the Jews were involved of the time in the killing of Jesus, as were the Romans, as were everyone, meaning that the idea is that everyone was involved in the killing of Jesus, which is why supposedly, you know, according to Christian theology, his blood washes everybody clean, is that the entire story is one of the guilt of humanity washed away by Christ's death.
I mean, I think that's right. But it's also good. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And this is the thing about corruption, is that someone who complains about the evil elites and how in what they're doing and that doesn't pay their taxes, right, or cheats on their taxes or does whatever. It's like corruption happens at every single level, right? And we justify our corruption, you know, people who don't, you know, pay, you know, we have it here. Like construction worker come to my house, he'll always ask me, do you want a receipt or don't you want a receipt? And it's like corruption is endemic at every level. So that's definitely something we have to understand. But I think it's also, it's good to recognize, for example, COVID was a good example. You know, we don't have to believe in absolute top-down control to notice that evil things are happening, right? All you need is motivation. You just need aligned motivation for things to manifest themselves the way they happen in COVID. So it's not like the people at the top are like, we're going to just tell everybody what to do and to close the hospitals and everything. But if you give incentive for people to act, they will act together with that incentive. And so I also don't tend to believe in absolute top-down conspiracies, but I do think that there are people that believe that we should move towards, let's say, something like a world government. I don't know exactly how to phrase it, or more internationalist vision. And that even though they didn't plan, I don't think anybody planned COVID happened or whatever, but then it was an opportunity to put into place certain things that they already wanted to put into place. And so I really do believe that, because, you know, I've been aware of people developing different types of like tracking systems and stuff like that for a very long time, you know, for decades, you know, that's been going on. And so once the COVID happened, the social credit system's already installed in China. And so let's have a little version of it here and see what happens, because, you know, we really need to be controlled by our big state mother, and maybe even more than our big state mother. So I do think that it's important to kind of see and to understand, for example, the idea that it is possible for our elites to not be aligned towards us, but to be aligned towards other purposes. And that's what corruption is, by the way, all the time, right? When someone receives a bribe, that's what's going on. It's a lizard people situation. You receive a bribe, it means that now you're acting towards the purpose that the person that gave you the bribe, and you're not acting in the position that you were put there to be. And so it's a good, that does exist, right? Corruption, that type of corruption does exist.
So one of the things that's happened, I think also, is when we talk about symbolism, there has been a purposeful attempt, you mentioned it earlier, to sort of unmoor all the symbolism that is inherently understood by human beings from its traditional rootings and flip it in reverse. And so this is one of the reasons, it's funny. So half my wife's family is Moroccan. They come from Morocco. In Morocco, big into mysticism in sort of the Jewish sense, big into symbolism and mysticism, and that's one of the things that they really are into. You know, again, I'm more rationalist in my approach to religion, but there is something to the correlation between the willingness to be into those sorts of things and the willingness to just call bullshit on dumb stuff. So the rationalist among us, something dumb will be uttered, some proposition that makes no sense will be uttered, and we'll try to come up with 300 reasons why that's a really, really dumb proposition. And meanwhile, my Moroccan, you know, in-laws will just be like, that's stupid. And then they'll laugh at it. And it turns out that that's a healthier response. And I think that one of the attempts to undermine the symbolism is an attempt to undermine that gut reaction. If you can discombobulate people from the symbolic felt roots of their civilization and make them not even understand what those symbols are about, they can't just take as granted the world around them anymore. Yeah. If you can reverse the symbolism of male and female, for example, then it becomes a lot easier to get away with propositions like a male can be a female.
No, you're right, and especially that one. I mean, the desire to deconstruct the basic male-female opposite that is set up, you know, in the beginning of Genesis is going at the very core of reality, right? Like, if we can take that, then we can define everything, that we can decide what everything is, you know, and humanity is indefinitely programmable. But that's impossible. Like, it's not gonna happen. It will lead to the kinds of, I mean, if we go too far into these directions, it'll lead to the kind of madness we saw in the 20th century, you know, where we think we can just make humans into whatever system that we devise, but that's not true. The problem that we have now, and in some ways, the ancients didn't explain symbolism. You know, 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, they didn't explain it. They were just living in it, and they would use it in their structures, right? They would use different analogies. They would use different ways of seeing. And the fact that I have to explain symbolism, or that my brother, or Jordan Peterson, or whoever, we try to explain symbolism is actually a sign of disease. It means that we have been deconstructed so much that things like you said, that your in-laws would, in just with normal insight, would not be able to explain how, why. They just know, okay, that's right, that's wrong, like that's, this is not a good portrait of the world. But sadly, because the education system has been so deconstructive that now we have to explain it, because without it we have, and the thing, like I said, the woke really madness is that they understand symbolism. And they give you just enough that's true that it does create insight in people, right? Like, think about the idea of fluidity or the idea of the rainbow and the notion of multiplicity. All that symbolism. There's a reality to that, right? There is a sense, there is an aspect of the world that is fluid. There is an aspect of the world that is not defined, right? That is in the corners of the field again, or that, you know, is the day of non-work. Like, we have all this type of symbolism, things that shouldn't be part of the rational work park, right? And so if you can understand that and weaponize it, we have to have better answers than just, like you said, just giving arguments against it. We have to be able to give a better participative thing.
The sort of soft social imposition of normality, which existed for nearly all of human history, right? The things that we all took for granted in nearly every civilization, that existed in the most part without compulsion. Right? There wasn't any compulsion to form a family and have kids. That was all, you know, social institutions and you had a family and it's what your friends and family did. It wasn't like there was a law that said, okay, now it's time for you to get married. Now it's time for you to have kids and you must have 3.2 kids. But you do need real cultural enforcement mechanisms to enforce the opposite, because nature rebels against it. Nature, I mean, and you're seeing this in the spiraling birth rates of the West. That's nature saying, you guys are doing this wrong, because it turns out that a civilization that can't procreate is a civilization that definitionally is dying.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And you can see it. Like you said, in the 60s or in the 50s, you know, we could have argued that maybe this is going to be greater, that this is going to create more joy and more prosperity and everything. But now we have the results. Like, we have them. We know what it looks like. It looks like lack of children, you know, decreasing birth rate. It looks like depression. It looks like people having less sex than they've ever had in the known history. It's like, how could emphasizing all your pleasures and hedonism and everything lead to people having less sex? Well, that's how it is. That's the ultimate satanic move, is that, you know, the devil promises you he's going to give you some pleasure. And then the perversion of that is that not only do you not get the pleasure, you get less in the end, right? It's like you become an alcoholic. You thought you liked alcohol, and by the time you're done, you need it to survive and you hate it, but you still have to take it, and there's no pleasure left, right? And that's what you're seeing in this, in the kind of pornification and of the world, is that ultimately it's destroying itself through a kind of new weird tyranny.
Yeah, I come back to the word sterility, because it really is incredibly sterile. I mean, the kind of promise that the taboo would become normalized, that means that it is no longer a taboo. And the human mind searches for the taboo. Well, when you blow up every taboo, there are no more taboos. And so once that happens, then what exactly is going to be transgressive? And the answer is normality is now transgressive.
Yeah, that's how it flips back. And that's when the reality just reaffirms itself, is that it becomes a paradox, right? So you move into a world of chaos and a paradox and things that don't make sense. And then finally, the paradox that will end up reverting back to normal is the kind of double flip. Like this, my brother talks about this. He talks about this double inversion, which is things turn upside down, and then by a new inversion, they turn right side up. And that's what we've seen with the whole funny idea of the conservative punk, right? The idea that if you're going to be rebel today, then you should get married, have kids, have a purpose, you know, have a career. And that's the way that you're the most punk rock, is to do that.
Well, Jonathan, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for taking the time. And again, folks, go check out Jonathan's work.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here Monday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. A major newspaper will not get involved in the presidential race.
The Washington Post says it will not endorse a presidential candidate. The Post reported on its own decision, quoting anonymous sources who said an endorsement of Kamala Harris over Donald Trump had been written but not published, and the company's owner, billionaire Jeff Bezos, made the decision. Post publisher Will Lewis wrote in a column, the decision was actually a return to a tradition the paper had years ago of not endorsing candidates. Former executive editor Martin Barron says the decision is cowardice, with democracy as its casualty and disturbing spinelessness. The Los Angeles Times also announced it is not endorsing a presidential candidate. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Chinese hackers targeted cell phones used by nominee Donald Trump, his running mate J.D. Vance, and people associated with the Democratic campaign of Kamala Harris. That's according to people familiar with the matter who spoke to the Associated Press earlier Friday. It was not immediately clear what data, if any, may have been accessed, but U.S. officials are investigating. Also at townhall.com, Florida's Attorney General is suing U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland for hampering the state's investigation into the second assassination attempt on former President Trump.
Florida AG Ashley Moody sued Merrick Garland on Wednesday, arguing the Justice Department is standing in the way of the state fully investigating the assassination attempt in Palm Beach. In the wording of the complaint, both the FBI and the Department of Justice acted, quote, almost immediately to try to halt the state's investigation. Florida may now go around the DOJ by filing a number of state charges against the suspect. Bob Agner reporting.
Israel has launched airstrikes targeting what it described as military targets in Iran in retaliation for a ballistic missile assault on October 1st. No immediate information on damage in the Islamic Republic. More online at townhall.com.
Anyone with everyday aches and pains, I've got a question. What are you missing out on? Probably a lot. So let me tell you about Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. It doesn't just mask pain, it helps reduce or even eliminate it. In about 3 weeks, you'll discover what it's like to feel better. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. the number 4, Relief.
The Pope is dead.
From Focus Features comes the electrifying new film, Conclave.
We're about to choose the most famous man in the world.
Based on the international best-selling thriller,
The Pope discovered something before he died.
Ralph Fiennes, Stanley Tucci.
Ambition becomes corruption.
John Lithgow and Isabella Rossellini.
We sisters have eyes and ears.
Top critics are raving. Conclave is hands down the best picture of the year.
I had to find the truth.
Conclave, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing only in theaters. Free.
A judge has upheld her ruling in Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter case.
In a ruling, the judge rejected a request by prosecutors to reconsider her dismissal of the involuntary manslaughter case halfway through the trial. That was because police and prosecutors withheld evidence from the defense that might have been exculpatory. Prosecutors say they plan to appeal. Baldwin, the lead actor and co-producer on Rust, was pointing a gun at cinematographer Helena Hutchins during a rehearsal when it went off. It killed her and wounded director Joel Souza. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Tom Jarrell, a former correspondent and anchor for ABC News, has died. Jarrell joined ABC News in 1965 and quickly gained national attention for his coverage of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Over more than two decades, in 2020, his impactful reporting earned him numerous accolades. Tom Jarrell was 89 years old. You'll find more at townhall.com. The winning streak is over on Wall Street.
Stocks gave up an early gain and closed mostly lower on Wall Street, ending a six-week winning streak. The S&P 500 ended little change Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 259 points. It's about 0.6%. Gains for several big tech stocks, including NVIDIA and Microsoft, sent the NASDAQ Composite up 0.6%. Capri Holdings, owner of Versace and Michael Kors, lost almost half its value after a judge halted a purchase of the company by the maker of Coach handbags. The stock market has been feeling pressure this week from higher treasury yields, which makes stocks less appealing to investors. Treasury yields rose again in the bond market. Seth Sutel, New York.
Russia's central bank raised its key interest rate 2 percentage points to a record high 21% in an effort to combat growing inflation. Government spending on the military is straining the economy's capacity to produce. More on these stories, analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, one of the final acts of the Biden administration is to go to court to defend DEI policies in the airline industry. Also, Bruce Springsteen performs at a Kamala Harris rally. It's one of the worst things you'll ever hear, I guarantee you that. Donald Trump is toying with the idea of abolishing the income tax. We'll talk about why that would make him, without question, the greatest president in American history. And Ben Shapiro debates 25 Kamala Harris supporters. The clips are truly tragic, if also hilarious. We'll talk about all that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. Put yourself in the shoes of a senior official in the Biden-Harris administration. Say you're running the DOJ, and right now you know that in just a matter of months, you could be out of a job. In fact, that seems pretty likely at this point. If there's any important causes that you want to pursue or policies you want to defend, well, now's the time to do it. This is your opportunity to cement your legacy, at least until the next administration fires you and completely dismantles it. Given that setup, what would you make a top priority?
So many things going wrong in the country. What are the battles you choose to fight with the limited time you have left? We're not quite technically in the lame duck period, but everyone in this administration is asking this question right now anyway. And as low as your expectations may be for the Biden-Harris administration, their answer to that question is pretty remarkable. In what could very well be their final days and weeks in power, senior leaders in the federal government are going to federal court to defend DEI policies. And I'm not talking about just any garden variety DEI policy here. As we speak, the Justice Department is going to court to demand that the DEI is used in the selection process to appoint an independent monitor to oversee Boeing, the aircraft manufacturer. Now, the job of this independent monitor is to make sure that Boeing stops making planes that fall apart in the sky or just completely fall out of the sky. In other words, the Biden-Harris DOJ is fighting to ensure that the second largest commercial jet manufacturer in the world is supervised by a DEI hire. What could possibly go wrong? Well, a lot, as we've seen. And you know that if you've been following Boeing lately. There's a decent documentary on Netflix called Downfall, The Case Against Boeing, that outlines a lot of the background. But here's the gist. As you probably remember, there were two fatal crashes involving Boeing 737 MAX aircraft in 2018 and 2019. A total of 346 people were killed in just a few months. Investigation revealed that the crashes were linked to Boeing's decision to accelerate production of the 737 MAX to compete with their rival Airbus. The design of Boeing's new 737 MAX was a lot like the older Boeing jets, but with one key exception. The engines were larger and they were positioned further forward on the plane. While this helped with efficiency, it came with a side effect, which is that the plane had a tendency to pitch upwards during flight. So to counteract that tendency, Boeing designed a new software program that they installed on their new 737 MAX aircraft. The idea was that the software would automatically lower the nose to a level position if the plane started creeping upwards. It was supposed to be kind of a subtle fix that the pilots wouldn't really notice. The problem is that the software was completely dependent on one sensor on the plane called the angle of attack sensor. And if that sensor failed or malfunctioned for whatever reason or provided inaccurate data, the plane would inaccurately believe that it was climbing too quickly, and the software in response would make the plane plunge towards the earth. And that's exactly what happened in both of those cases. Here's coverage of one of the crashes. Watch.
But shortly after takeoff, Ethiopian Flight 302 is suddenly out of control. A critical sensor sending information to the plane's new flight control system called MCAS has malfunctioned. MCAS thinks the aircraft is in a stall and literally takes over the controls, pitching the plane into a steep dive.
Now, what's incredible about this crash, the Ethiopian Airlines one, is that it happened after the Lion Air crash several months earlier. And after the Lion Air crash, Boeing sent out advisories to a bunch of airlines warning them about their software. They said that if they encounter a similar issue, pilots should just turn off the electrical system of that part of the aircraft to disable the software entirely. The problem is that when the Ethiopian pilots did that, they encountered a bunch of other unexpected issues that they weren't really trained on, and they were panicking. And during the chaos, they left the throttle on maximum, which made it impossible to control the plane without the help of the electrical system. And when they tried to regain some control, they turned the electrical system back on, at which point the plane promptly crashed itself. Now, obviously, there are a lot of failures that occurred in this whole situation. The regulators at the FAA delegated a lot of their responsibilities to Boeing, which meant that Boeing was in charge of certifying the safety of its own software. Additionally, Boeing knowingly made false representations about its software during the certification process. That part is not in dispute. Boeing admits this. This summer, Boeing agreed to plead guilty to conspiring to defraud the government concerning the 737 MAX's software. And then Boeing and the DOJ filed a plea agreement so that a judge could review it. And the plea agreement essentially makes Boeing, as a company, like the company equivalent of a convicted felon. And they're still making our airplanes that we fly on, so that should make you feel good. But to his credit, the judge, whose name is Reed O'Connor, isn't signing off on the plea deal, at least not yet. This is a bit like the situation with Hunter Biden this summer. Just because both parties agree to a plea deal, it doesn't mean the judge has to accept it. And in this case, there's a very important reason why the judge won't accept it. Quoting from the judge's order this month, quote, the agreement mandates an independent compliance monitor to assess whether Boeing has adequately mitigated the risk providing false or fraudulent information to the Federal Aviation Administration and other government regulators. Like many of the agreement's other provisions, the victims strongly oppose the agreement's compliance monitor requirements. Among other reasons, the victims argue the court should reject the agreement because it allows the government, not the court, to select a monitor with input from Boeing and in keeping with the department's commitment to diversity and inclusion. Now, in other words, just to translate, both the judge and the victims' families have an issue with this provision, and you can see why. When both the regulator and the airline manufacturer mess up, causing the deaths of hundreds of people, then you would think you'd want to bring in the most competent people you can find in order to make sure that that never happens again. But that's not what's happening here. When the judge asked the government's attorney, Sean Tinoli, to explain what exactly this diversity, equity, and inclusion policy would entail, Tinoli responded that he's not an expert in the topic. But he eventually got around to saying that diversity refers to race, gender, background, and any number of factors, including background and experience. Tinoli added that inclusion is, quote, another way of maybe saying the same thing and not excluding people because of any characteristic that would be included in diversity. Both of those explanations are incredibly circular, but he tapped out after that. He said he couldn't provide any more information than that, but he did insist that the government wouldn't pick somebody who was unqualified. Well, that led the judge to ask, quote, did the department used to exclude certain people on race, gender, and other things? And in response to that question, Tinoli responded, not to my knowledge. Which was an alarming answer, to say the least, especially when you're talking about making sure that more planes don't fall out of the sky. The answer should be an unequivocal no, we definitely wouldn't exclude anyone based on race or gender. It's wrong to discriminate on that basis in any context, but it's completely insane to do it when you're talking about regulating Boeing, which, if you haven't noticed, is having a lot of problems right now, both on this planet and in space. So the judge asked Boeing for their input, but they just deferred to the government's answer. And then the judge pulled up Boeing's website, where he found that the company has a set of aspirations that it plans to achieve by next year. And those aspirations, which are based on DEI, include explicit quotas on the basis of race, including Boeing's efforts to, quote, increase the black representation rate in the U.S. by 20% and close representation gaps for historically underrepresented groups. The judge also found that Boeing pays its executives bonuses depending on how many of their DEI goals they have achieved. Now, at the moment, we don't know exactly how this legal battle will play out. The judge has said that he wants a full hearing on all of this before he signs off on any plea agreement. He wants to make sure that the Biden-Harris administration is going to select someone who can do the job before any more people die in Boeing airplanes. And based on the statements of Boeing and the Biden-Harris administration so far, the judge doesn't have those assurances. Now, if you look at any corporate media coverage of the story, you'll find a lot of snark directed at the judge. Reuters, for example, ran this headline, quote, how a U.S. judge injected culture wars into Boeing 737 MAX plea deal. They interviewed a lawyer who criticized the judge, saying that he was acting incredibly unusual. CNN, meanwhile, accused the judge of engaging in a politically tinged courtroom battle. Now, this is the same debate, the same tactic we've seen in the trans debate and in so many other areas. Left-wing activists implement some new insane policy, and when you push back against it in any way, or even just ask questions about it, you're accused of injecting a culture war in a way that's somehow inappropriate. It's not injecting a culture war when Boeing and the federal government both decide to, you know, begin with this DEI insanity in the first place. But it is a culture war when a judge asks if we're hiring the most qualified people to make sure that more planes don't crash themselves into the ocean. Now, the reason these outlets are lashing out like this is that they recognize that this judge's ruling is significant. They realize that they're indeed losing the culture war on this topic, the war that, like every other battlefield of the culture war, these are all wars that they started, it's wars that the left started. This is the first time that I'm aware of that a federal judge has explicitly called out DEI in the context of an ongoing case, and he's demanded to know what exactly it entails. And in response, the government and Boeing, which both practice DEI, couldn't even answer the question. It's yet another sign that the tide is turning pretty sharply against the whole concept of diversity, equity, and inclusion, particularly when lives are at stake. That's why, you know, when I started working on my film, Am I Racist, a few years ago, developments like this were pretty difficult to imagine at the time. But throughout the process, we all knew that taking down DEI meant exposing exactly what it is in practice. Once reasonable people can see exactly what diversity, equity, and inclusion entails, then they turn against it, as with so many other things on the left. When people just see what it actually is and they see past the euphemisms, once you've revealed what it actually is to people, many times you don't even have to explain why it's wrong because it's so self-evident. People recognize that it's immoral and unethical, not to mention incredibly dangerous in cases like this. And they also recognize that the high priests of the DEI cult actually have no idea what they're talking about. Like Boeing's lawyers or the various experts and activists I spoke to in the film, these people can't even define the terms that they're constantly repeating. And that's the big reason why I'm excited about the streaming release of Am I Racist? As you may have heard, my new film is coming to a Daily Wire Plus on Monday. We'll be able to show the film to people who, for one reason or another, weren't able to see it in theaters. Or if you were able to see it, now you'll have access to it whenever you want at your house. We'll be exposing the DEI grift to an audience of millions of more people. And when it comes to DEI, exposure is fatal. And mockery is intolerable also for them. And we do a lot of both of those things in this film. And thanks to everyone who's supported us in the theaters, we produced the top documentary of the decade. We showed how some of the biggest names in the industry are complete and total and hilariously frauds. And we had a lot of fun doing it. So if you're not subscribed to Daily Wire and you want to watch the film, you can get 35% off your membership right now with code DEI. I hope you'll support us. We didn't start this particular culture war, but because of your support, it's very clear that we're winning it now. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Wildfire season is upon us. Being prepared saves lives. Develop and practice an evacuation plan with your household. Stay informed about local fire conditions and follow evacuation orders if issued. Know your evacuation zone. Go to ShastCom911.com. Click on Be Prepared, Know Your Zone. Type in your address and write it down in case of emergency. You can also sign up for Alert Shasta at ShastCom911.com.
9.9 million Americans misuse prescription drugs, with most of the pills coming from family and friends' medicine cabinets. The National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day addresses this public health and safety issue. Help us keep prescription drugs out of the hands of our young people. Clean out your medicine cabinets and bring your unused, outdated, and unwanted prescription drugs to the Reading Civic Auditorium on Saturday, October 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, contact Chemical People at 241-5958.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson Pipes and Drums as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing.
Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. All right, New York Times has this headline, a wonderful headline. Trump flirts with ultimate tax cut. No income taxes at all. Article says former President Donald J. Trump has spent much of the presidential campaign brainstorming new and sometimes untested ways to cut taxes. In the election's final stretch, he raised the possibility of going even further, eliminating income taxes entirely. During a Fox News segment on Monday, Mr. Trump took questions at a barbershop in the Bronx. When asked if the United States could potentially end all federal taxation, Mr. Trump said the country could return to the economic policies in the late 19th century where there was no federal income tax. Mr. Trump said it had all tariffs. It didn't have an income tax. Now we have income taxes and we have people that are dying. They're paying tax and they don't have the money to pay the tax. In June, Mr. Trump floated the idea of replacing federal revenue from income taxes with money received from tariffs. Mr. Trump has not provided specific details of how it would work, and it's unclear if he wants to eliminate all federal taxes, including corporate income taxes and payroll taxes, or only the individual income tax. Either way, both liberal and conservative experts have dismissed his idea as mathematically impossible and economically destructive. Yeah, I love that when people say it's mathematically impossible to do something that we've already done. Okay, the income tax was put in place in 1913. Prior to that, there was no income tax. So how could it be impossible to do a thing that we already did for over a century? And I'm not joking when I say that if Trump pursued this and was able to see it through, it would make him the greatest president in American history. I mean, even if he just pursued it in a serious way and wasn't able to and didn't succeed, it would still make him arguably the greatest president in American history. But certainly if he was able to abolish the income tax, it would. Because in one fell swoop, Trump will have done more than any other president to bring freedom and prosperity to the American people. Abolishing the income tax would mean that he has done more than any other president to bring freedom and prosperity to the American people. He will have increased freedom and prosperity more than any other president ever has. And I don't think it's going to happen. You know, I put a very low likelihood on it. But it needs to happen. And I also do believe that Trump is the only guy who would even potentially do something like that. And, you know, libertarians like to say that taxation is theft. And that's not exactly right. Not all taxation is theft. You need to have some kind of taxation in order to fund the government. And the other option is for the government to have no funding, which means that the government can't exist. And then you have anarchy. So if you're not an anarchist, then you must agree that some kind of tax system is a necessary evil, which means that not all taxes are theft. But the income tax is theft. So you just have to be more specific when you make that claim that taxation is theft. The income taxation is theft. That I absolutely believe. For the government to reach into your paycheck and take a chunk of it, take a chunk before you even get your hands on it. Getting taxed just for earning a living, that is theft. That is tyranny. And we've been living under a system of crushing tyranny for over 100 years now. The kind of tyranny that our founders never would have tolerated. In fact, they violently revolted against much lesser tyranny than this. There's no question about that. Now, of course, as the New York Times says, in response to this, a lot of people, even conservatives, are going around saying, well, we can't do that. How will we pay for the roads and the schools without an income tax? First of all, federal income taxes don't really pay for schools. At least they largely don't. I think like 5 or 10% of the funding for schools comes from the federal government. And besides, the public school system needs to be abolished anyway. So, but I mean, that's a different subject. whatever else the federal government pays for, or we pay for, I should say, through the federal government, you can replace that funding with other taxes. Trump wants to use tariffs. There had other plans. We've talked about the fair tax, for example, and national sales tax. Any kind of consumption-based tax is vastly preferable to an income tax. And it continues to, I continue to find it rather confounding that abolishing the income tax, I mean, Trump is talking about it, which is great, but it's rather confounding that this is not a subject that comes up more often on the right. Like, there aren't that many people on the right who talk about this or push for it in any kind of serious way. And I find that sort of confusing. Like, we should all be on the same page on this thing. The income tax is just an abomination from hell. It really is. And the only reason that we accept it is just because it's always been in place, at least, and always just means in our lifetime. That we've never known anything other than the income tax, and so therefore we just take it for granted. But just because you're born into a certain kind of tyranny doesn't mean that it's not tyranny, and it also doesn't mean that it's inevitable and there's no other way to, you know, have a functioning country. Like, that's just not the case. And really, when it comes down to it, the any other attempt to rein in the you know, extravagantly unnecessary spending of the federal government, any attempt to cut the size of government, any of that stuff, like, none of that can really happen while you still have an income tax. While we still have a situation where the government could just come in and take your money out of your paycheck, as long as they can do that, yet spending is not going to go down, the government's not going to shrink, you're not going to do anything about the ungainly, massive, gargantuan blob of the federal government, the federal bureaucracy, like, none of that. You won't solve any of those problems or even make a dent as long as they have this power to just go and take your money. They're going to keep doing it. So this is the first step towards really any other improvements we want to make. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
The Reading Sash Alliance is dedicated to making sewing, fashion, and business education accessible for everyone. We are a nonprofit located at 1616 Market Street. Get ready for November 9th as we present Artisan Avenue, the craft of fashion. Experience a runway of a blend of couture fashion to wearable art. Tickets will be available starting October 1st on our website at readingfashionalliance.org. Our call for fashion designers for Artisan Avenue is open until August 31st. Visit our website for more information on how to enter into the fashion show.
The Ramsey Show.
When you're walking around with a little picket in your hand and you're saying, I demand $22 to work at McDonald's, then you don't get to bitch about inflation.
Yeah.
Because you caused it.
It's The Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
The roaring crash of cannons, the sizzling hum of a lightsaber, and the nail-biting tension of meeting an unknown enemy. All these and more will whisk audiences through an emotional roller coaster of battle when the Shasta Symphony Orchestra, under the baton of Dr. Jeff Speck, music director, brings to life epic battles of history through music. Get your tickets now for this Saturday night's performance starting at 7:30 at the Shasta College Theater. Tickets are $15 for general admission, $10 for seniors, and $5 for students at eventbrite.com.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
908.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. Cyndi Lauper came out with, fortunately she's not singing, but she endorsed Kamala Harris and gave her own pitch for Kamala. Let's listen to that.
Hi. Me, Cyndi. I'm touring the country. I'm very excited to see my country. I love my country. Mostly, I want to tell you that this November, I'm voting for her. Kamala Harris. You know why? Because she's a woman and she's going to understand that I don't want to be a second-class citizen anymore. I want to see a woman in the White House. I would like to see that. Right now, we have no equality. We're not even able to say whether we want to have a kid or not. I don't have to worry about that anymore, but I do have to worry about the fact that my nieces and whoever comes later is going to be second class. We'll be told about our bodies and what we're to do with them, because for the good of who? Men aren't told what they're going to do. I want equality, real equality. I don't want to be talked into anything anymore, being told what I'm going to do with my own body, because that's too creepy. That's not small government. That's dictatorship, and I don't want that. So, ladies, can we stand together?
Okay.
One.
That's enough of that. There it is again, by the way, small government. She's making a pitch for... Since when do you care about small government? Cyndi Lauper. And since when does Cyndi Lauper sound like Lois Griffin from Family Guy? Has she always sounded like that? I guess I've never heard her talk before. And I wish I never did. So, you know, of course, this does, number one, raise the question, the great question that still has not been answered by anybody on the left, which is, what is a woman? She said she's voting for Kamala Harris because she's a woman. And she just came out and said it. She's not even pretending that there's any other reason. Yeah, I'm voting for her because she's a woman. All right, well, what's that? What is that? What is this mysterious creature you speak of, Cindy? Can you tell us a little bit more about that? And then she goes off on the whole abortion spiel. It's funny how these people, I mean, for one thing, they continue to pretend that there's some kind of federal abortion ban in place. It's not even that they're pretending that Trump is going to put a federal ban in place, even though Trump repeatedly has said he is not going to do that. The way they talk about it, they're pretending that it has already happened. And they're ignoring the fact that, like, every single one of these women who come out in support of Kamala Harris and start giving these speeches, especially the famous women, they all of them live in states where abortion is 100% legal still from conception to birth and in some cases beyond birth. I don't know where Cyndi Lauper lives, but I'm going to pretty safe assumption she lives in a state where it's already legal. So all of these women, it is already legal entirely where you live. And it has been for 50 years. And Trump is, if he was elected, would not do a single thing to change that. If I were elected, I would do something to change that. I think there should be a federal abortion ban. I make no apologies about that. But that's not Trump's view on it. It's not Trump's view. So they're just ignoring that. They are ignoring it because so that they can tell this story, as we heard from Cyndi Lauper, that women are second-class citizens, that they're being singled out, which, by the way, of course, even if there was a national abortion ban in place, that still would not mean that you're a second-class citizen, that you're not equal, that you're being somehow singled out with some kind of law that only applies to you. It wouldn't mean that. All it would mean, you know what, if you live in a state where there's an abortion ban or if there was a federal ban, and if you're a woman, all that would mean is that would actually be equality. Banning abortion is equality. It's equality, for one thing, because we're recognizing the human rights of the child in the womb, who is a human, who is a person. And when the person in the abortion conversation who's being deprived of equality under the law is the unborn child. But also, all that would mean is that you are not allowed to directly kill another human life, which is already the law for everybody else. Men are not allowed to directly kill innocent human beings. It's not as though men have that privilege. And women don't. So when abortion is legal, it makes women, that is an inequality in the law. Not only because, again, we're depriving human rights, we're depriving the unborn children of their basic human rights, but we are carving out this exception, this murder exception, and we're saying that, you're not allowed to take innocent human life unless you're a woman and you're killing your child. So Cyndi Lauper does not want equality under the law. Equality under the law would be an abortion ban. That's the last thing she wants. She wants women to have extra rights that nobody else has. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon. The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years' experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas, but our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. There's a series on YouTube produced by the channel Jubilee where one person sits in a circle surrounded by 20 or 30 people who disagree with them, and the people in the circle takes debating the guy in the middle. Charlie Kirk went viral a couple weeks ago when he took on 25 woke college students and debated them and did quite well. This week, Ben Shapiro was the latest conservative commentator on the chopping block. Clips of his debates with 25 Kamala Harris voters are going extremely viral all over social media, which as a side note means it's only a matter of time before someone on our PR team tries to convince me to do this too. And I'll just tell them ahead of time, the answer is no. I am not doing this. Don't even bother bringing it to my office. I know you're going to. You'll probably do it today. I don't have the patience required to engage in that many conversations with that many idiots, one after another, in close succession. So I'm happy to let Ben and Charlie handle that chore on their own. And they've got the right temperament for it. I don't. So anyway, needless to say, Ben wins every debate during this little tournament. But I think I looked at the YouTube video of this. And it's got like 4 million views in less than a day, and which is incredible. And it's like an hour long. I mean, Ben sat there, and that's with, I'm sure they edited and clipped some stuff. I don't know. But sitting there for an hour, just one of these people, one after another with these morons, I cannot imagine. That's hell. It is hell. Now, there are two clips in particular that I want to focus on today from this. And the first is a young woman who tries to challenge Ben on the topic of abortion. This clip is it's a little bit long. It's about two and a half minutes. But I think it's worth watching the whole thing or most of it. Here it is.
Actually, hi, how are you?
No, how are you?
Hello. Nice to meet you. Oh wow, you look good in person. Okay, so
that's very sweet of you. I don't often get that, so thank you.
Okay, it's fine. How do you define abortion really quickly?
Abortion would be the forcible termination of an unborn human life.
Yes, but like, why do you hold that definition? Like, would you not like assume like something like a C-section would be considered an abortion?
No, because the baby is born alive. So how would that be an abortion?
What does the definition of abortion have to include the death of the fetus?
Because that's literally the definition of abortion.
It literally isn't, though. Where are you getting this definition from?
Where are you getting your definition from?
Let's go to like what, like, do you like Mayo Clinic, like any like hospital you've ever gone to before?
A C-section ends with the birth of the child.
Right, but
I know,
abortion generally. Yeah, I understand this.
I'm here. I'm talking to you.
I know, baby.
That's how it's not important.
I understand this, but like, yes, but like, no. Well, yes, but like, no. But no, you could simply say that abortion is simply the ending of a pregnancy, right? So the ending of a pregnancy outside of the natural birth of a fetus. I don't see why you would say that, like, it would have to end in the death of a fetus, which is why I'm pro-abortion all 9 months, right? Because say if a woman is not able to pass a fetus in the natural way, we could have these other abortion processes that would say, like, okay, like, she needs some type of induction that doesn't include the actual natural expulsion of a fetus. But it doesn't always end in the death of a fetus, so I don't see how you could say that Kamala Harris' stance is immoral in this sense.
I just don't understand how you're removing the death of the fetus from the equation about abortion. That's literally the entire moral issue. You and I would not even be arguing if we were talking about C-sections or about natural birth.
But it seems like at this core, though, we disagree on what the inherent definition of abortion is.
Okay, then you could leave away. We could very easily solve this. Let's just not talk about the word abortion. Let's talk about the forcible termination of a baby.
Okay, so then what do you value in the fetus, then?
The life of the fetus.
Okay, so then when is this? You said it's because of conception?
Yes.
And why is that?
Because that is literally the biological definition of when an independent life begins.
Yes, but like, why does it have moral value?
It has moral value because that's literally the biological definition of when a human life begins.
Right, but like, why does that have moral value, though?
Okay, why does any life have moral value?
I would value sentience.
But why?
Right, because
this is simply
what we value, like you and I value. Like, is it okay to like unplug like a brain dead patient, for example?
I mean, the question is whether it's okay to unplug a brain dead patient. Actually, quite a controversial one in sort of religious circles.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as why, I'm just wondering if somebody's in a coma and you know they're going to wake up, do you have the right to unplug them?
Well, coma's not brain dead, though. We know that there's future sentience there. Like, it would be like a matter of like a contract of like past future. Like, I'm sorry, past, present, or future sentience.
I mean,
but like a person in a coma has.
I agree. And guess what? Fetuses also have guaranteed future sentience.
Well, no, because you're only valuing one half of the conjunct. That's not. Right? So it would be past, present, or future.
Now you're changing the topic. I mean, we started with what's the value of the fetus.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, bye.
You know, it's actually more challenging than you think to debate someone who is that fundamentally wrong about everything. I think people make the mistake when you watch something like that and you go, I could do that. That woman's a moron. It's harder than you think because the challenge is that, as you can see in the clip, your opponent will jump from one irrelevant, inane point to another, rapid fire style. And each point is so baseless and so preposterous and so disconnected from reality and so unrelated often to the topic at hand that it's hard to know where to begin when you engage with it. I mean, she was wrong on every level about every single thing she said in that conversation. And, you know, just as you start engaging with one wrong thing, she's hopped off that lily pad and onto the next one. So it's a bit like trying to wrestle, metaphorically, a giant slug. The slug is so ungainly and big and slimy that it's just difficult to pin down. You're probably not going to lose the match to the slug, but it's just you don't know. There's nothing to grip onto here. And that's the position that Ben was in during that 2.5-minute exchange. He did a remarkably good job given those challenges. But what you really see in that clip is the fundamental moral and scientific confusion that lies at the root of leftism. The woman is sure that she supports abortion, but she doesn't even know what abortion is or what human life is or when human life has value or why it has value. She has a position on abortion, but not on any of the individual points that should inform her position on abortion. You know, this logically speaking, if you have a position on something like abortion, then that should be built on top of a bunch of other positions that lie underneath it that lead you to supporting abortion. But what you find with these people is that when you look deeper, all the points underneath the larger point, they have no clue. They don't even know. They have no idea. This is a woman so helplessly confused that she has gone through life thinking that a C-section is the same thing as an abortion. This is a dangerous level of confusion and ignorance. But confusion and ignorance don't have to be dangerous. You know, if you're confused and ignorant and aware that you're confused and ignorant, then that could be the starting point on a journey towards greater knowledge and understanding. The problem is that the leftists sitting around that circle are confused and ignorant and at the same time arrogantly self-assured. These are people volunteering to debate Ben Shapiro, one of the best rhetoricians in the country, who's like, this is what he does. I mean, rapid fire debates with a bunch of people. That's like, this is, and you're volunteering for that despite having no grasp on any of the topics that are going to be discussed. It's just a lethal mixture of ignorance and arrogance. On the plus side, it does make for some funny viral videos. On the negative side, it's completely destroying our country and civilization. So, you know, those two things, I don't know if they balance out or not. And that brings us finally to this clip, which is has all of the problems of the last one, but is somehow even worse. Watch.
Wow, okay, we're going to take this chair. Look at that.
Hey, Ben.
Like a bro, my friend. All right.
How's it going?
Let's break open
a first question, can men get pregnant?
Men cannot get pregnant.
Okay, awesome. So,
Definitionally.
Definitionally, okay. Do men experience SA? Sexual assault?
Sure.
Got it. What about the existence of trans men?
What about the existence? Do you mean women who believe that they are men? What are we talking about here? Women experiencing gender dysphoria?
So, my other question is, do you benefit from white supremacy in any way, shape, or form?
I'm going to need more specifics on what you mean by white
supremacy. Here, let me give it to you then.
Sure, please.
So I'm a transgender man.
Okay.
I've experienced SA.
Okay.
And abortion rights affect me directly. So if we're talking about the American dream that you live, why don't I have access to that? Because there's no legislation, in the history of America, that legislates a man's body. So why does mine have to be legislated? I've got a vagina.
I'm not interested in what your genitalia are.
Clearly you are. I mean, it's all over everything you make, buddy. I'm sorry. I hate to say it to you, but
I think you can read on my face that I radically am not. I think you can read on my face that I radically am not. When we're talking about abortion...
No, I mean, you can present it here, but in most of the content that you have, you attack my community constantly. And you don't even realize guys like me exist, who actually share a lot of similarities to you and everything, because I'm a married man of 20 years.
I recognize that you exist. I disagree with your claim that you are a male.
That goes on, by the way, for another 3-4 minutes. The M. Night Shyamalan twist in that clip is that the man is actually a female. Of course, it's not much of a twist because even before she reveals herself as a female, you could already tell she was interrupting constantly and bringing up a whole bunch of irrelevant personal details in an argument. So that was a dead giveaway. Also, the flipping the chair around, the exaggerated posture, you know. All of it had the cartoonish quality of somebody playing a character. And I really love flipping the chair around to sit down because that's what you think a man would do. When in reality, like a man, when we see a chair, we just sit in it. Like we don't, I like having the back of the chair available so I can sit back and, you know, that's what men do. We don't see a chair as an opportunity to like perform. But then she gives up on that, you know, 20 seconds in and just flips the chair back around the real way. And then sits down. But once again, you see the inherent challenge of debating a leftist. I mean, we watched that clip for a minute and a half, and by the end of it, it still isn't clear what point she's trying to make or what position she's supposedly even defending. Like, if I showed you that clip and I didn't tell you that they're supposed to be talking about abortion, you wouldn't even really know that. She's bringing up all these things that have nothing to do. I'm a trans man. I'm married. I've been married for 20 years. I was sexually assaulted. It's like, okay, what does any of that have to do with the topic? In theory, she's supposed to be arguing against Ben's claim that Kamala's extreme pro-abortion stance is morally indefensible. But she opens by informing Ben that she has a vagina, that she identifies as trans, that she's been sexually assaulted, and that she's been married for 20 years. Now, that being sexually assaulted, that's tragic. It's a tragic point. We pity her for it. We feel sympathy for her. None of those details, though, again, have anything to do with the topic. Anything. None of it amounts to an argument of any kind. What she's trying to establish, apparently, is that she has a personal stake in the abortion issue. But her personal stake doesn't make her right, and it doesn't make her more credible. In fact, if anything, it goes the other way. You know, when somebody is personally invested in an issue, it can create a bias, which can interfere with their ability to assess the arguments objectively. You know, what happens here, and this is the other thing you see in that little clip, is that the left constantly tries to hold our objectivity against us as if we are discredited by our lack of personal bias. So they like to point out that pro-life men are not harmed by abortion, right? It's not our body. It's not our lives at stake. Don't like abortion? Don't get one. That's the refrain. We've heard it a million times. And they're right to a certain extent. It is no skin off my nose personally if a woman gets an abortion. I am not personally harmed by it. I suffer no personal injury. And it doesn't directly impact my life in any tangible way. And yet, I'm still opposed to it. I gain nothing from opposing it. I don't benefit from opposing it. I don't benefit if I agreed with it. I have no benefit. It does not benefit me. I have no personal stake in this. That's right. But that only makes me and other pro-life men more credible. Like, if anything, it increases our credibility. It means that we oppose abortion purely because we have assessed the arguments for and against and come to the conclusion that the arguments against abortion are better and more persuasive. That, again, is called objectivity. It doesn't make you less credible. It makes you more credible. As we see in the clips, they, in principle, oppose any objective analysis of the facts. In their world, whoever has a deeper emotional investment in the subject always wins. That's really why in both of these clips you see them bring up irrelevant things and why she's going through all of her personal past history and trauma. Because in her mind, if I can prove that I have a deeper emotional investment in this issue, I'm automatically right. I automatically win just because it would hurt my feelings more if I don't win. And, you know, the other good thing for them is they always have the deeper emotional investment in their minds because their emotions are always deeper and more profound than anyone else's. That's how you end up with people who are so fantastically wrong about everything and yet so sure of their rightness, which is why I could never sit down and debate 25 of these people one at a time. But I'm glad that guys like Ben are willing to do it. And that's why his 25 interlocutors are today canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com, I'm Ron Taylor. Israel has pounded Iran with a series of airstrikes saying it was targeting military sites in retaliation for the barrage of ballistic missiles the Islamic Republic fired upon Israel earlier in the month. Explosions could be heard early this morning in the Iranian capital, Tehran. There was no immediate information on damage or casualties. In a taped statement, Israeli military spokesperson Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari explains the limited scope of the action.
In response to months of continuous attacks from the regime in Iran against the state of Israel, right now, the Israel Defense Forces is conducting precise strikes on military targets in Iran.
He says Israel's use of military force is resolute.
Our defensive and offensive capabilities are fully mobilized. We will do whatever necessary to defend the state of Israel and the people of Israel.
Also at townhall.com, Vice President Kamala Harris' campaign remains silent following a call from Republican congressional leaders for her to stop using, quote, dangerous rhetoric, such as referring to former President Donald Trump as a fascist. You'll see details from Bernie Bennett.
House Speaker Mike Johnson and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell released a relatively rare joint statement Friday, demanding Harris cease using such rhetoric and reminding her of the two recent assassination attempts against Trump. The Republican leader said in the statement less than 2 weeks before the election, quote, labeling a political opponent as a fascist risks inviting yet another would-be assassin to try robbing voters of their choice before Election Day. The statement noted that, quote, in the week since the second sobering reminder, the Democratic nominee for President of the United States has only fanned the flames beneath a boiling cauldron of political animus. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
Former President Trump visiting Texas for his first public campaign event in the state since receiving the Republican nomination. You'll find more at townhall.com.
So do you just grin and bear it or bite the bullet when it comes to everyday pain? Don't. Try Relief Factor, a drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain, it helps reduce or even eliminate it. It's 100% drug-free, it's developed by doctors. In 3 weeks or less, you'll know whether it works for you like it works for me. Try Relief Factor for yourself. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF.
Hey, pet parents. With Progressive's collision coverage, you get extra protection for your cat or dog, because there's nothing worse than seeing your pet hurt. Like when you see their face after accidentally stepping on their tail, and you say, "I'm so sorry, Mr. Pickles." But as you kiss his nose and rub his little belly welly, you know Mr. Pickles is thinking, "You betrayed me." Anywho, Progressive pays up to $1,000 in vet bills if your pet is injured in an auto accident. Learn more at Progressive.com and watch where you step. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Collision coverage subject to policy terms. Not available in all states.
Well, there's good news at the pump. As you'll notice, gas prices are going in the right direction. Down. Correspondent Rita Foley has more.
Gas is $3.14 a gallon on average as you start your weekend. That's 5 cents cheaper than a week ago, 7 cents less than a month ago, says the AAA. And remember this, a year ago, gas was $3.54 a gallon, 40 cents more than it is now. The highest prices in the nation now are on the West Coast. It's $4.60 a gallon in California, about $4.06 in Washington State. The lowest prices are in the South, $2.77 in Louisiana, $2.69 a gallon in Texas. I'm Rita Foley.
Thank you, Rita Foley, for giving us good news where it hits home. You'll always find breaking news, analysis, headlines, and more stories when you log on to townhall.com. That's townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. A strong majority of California voters favor a new bill that would crack down on crime. Bob Agnew has more.
According to a survey from the Public Policy Institute of California, nearly three-quarters of the California electorate plans to vote in favor of Proposition 36. The high-profile ballot measure will increase penalties for some theft and drug-related crimes. Republican Congressman Kevin Kiley happily writing on X, a new PPIC poll shows Prop 36, the measure to make crime illegal again, is leading by a margin of 73% to 25%. Sanity is around the corner. Bob Agnew reporting.
Four astronauts are back on Earth after a space station mission that lasted almost 8 months. A SpaceX capsule carrying the crew parachuted into the Gulf of Mexico off the Florida coast before dawn Friday. The three Americans and one Russian should have returned from the ISS 2 months ago, but were delayed by Boeing's Starliner crew capsule and weather. More online at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
The roaring crash of cannons, the sizzling hum of a lightsaber, and the nail-biting tension of meeting an unknown enemy. All these and more will whisk audiences through an emotional roller coaster of battle when the Shasta Symphony Orchestra, under the baton of Dr. Jeff Speck, music director, brings to life epic battles of history through music. Get your tickets now for this Saturday night's performance starting at 7:30 at the Shasta College Theater. Tickets are $15 for general admission, $10 for seniors, and $5 for students at Eventbrite.com.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power airlines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hello, food fans. Chef Cal DiMercurio here, inviting you to tune in each Wednesday for an hour of helping you turn the drudgery of preparing home meals into having fun in the kitchen. We'll be sharing tips, tricks, and tempting insights that are sure to make your time in the kitchen a pleasant and fulfilling one. Come join me and my wife Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at Cooking Like a Pro, right here on KCNR 1460.
For the presidency, because she is a potato head, and how a newspaper could endorse her, how anybody could vote for her, I don't know. But I have an extremely high IQ, and I've been paying attention for a long time, so it's different for me. But I want to get to that, too. Before I do get to that, listening to the local news in Washington, D.C., we have a mayor of sorts, and we have a city council, kind of, you know, Trayon White, the D.C. Democrat city councilman, anti-Semite, who drove around making a video of himself in Washington saying that the Jewish Rothschild family controls the weather and they make it snow because they want to control the world and take over.
D.C. keep talking about we're a resilient city, and that's a model based off the Rothschilds controlling the climate to create natural disasters they can pay for to own the cities, man. Be careful.
That's right. Keep your eyes peeled for that. That's a Democrat. Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, city councilman in good with the Democrat Party. No problem there. He's running for re-election. He, I expect, will be re-elected. And he's also, right now, he's facing trial for corruption. And yesterday he dropped his and taking bribes and stuff, which is fine. Not a big story. Not national news, because he's a Democrat. And it would be racist to cover him, the news media thinks. Remarkable stuff. Trayon White is running for re-election, and I fully expect that he'll be re-elected in a landslide. But the story in the Washington Post about him today is that he's dropping his highfalutin, high-priced legal team, his very expensive lawyers, and he's going with public defenders instead. He's a very thrifty man. He has, thrift is his thing. So he's got public defenders coming. But that's not, and he will be re-elected, probably with nearly 100% of the vote. But never mind that, because the Jews, you know, from the river to the sea, the Democrat Party, kind of ironic when they're going around calling everybody Nazis. And you see Hillary yesterday, she said in 1939, a rally at Madison Square Garden, which President Trump, she says, is going to reanimate this weekend, thick with irony for another number of reasons, but I'll get to that. She said, Hillary said, that in 1939 there were neo-Nazis gathering there. I was like, well, I guess Nazism was neo at the time, but no, they weren't neo-Nazis. They were just Nazis. You know, that's They didn't have to be neo. It was a brand new thing. It's like the Democrat Party during the American Civil War. Pardon me, the first American Civil War. Isn't that amazing? So we got Tran White, but that's not even the D.C. City Council member I'm talking about, because the local news covering D.C. Council member and former Washington D.C. mayor Vincent Gray. He was involved in legal troubles and things himself when he was mayor, and driven out of the mayor's office because of alleged corruption. But the news media doesn't cover it. The local news media does a little bit, but that's about it. Not a big deal because he's a Democrat and it would be racist to cover him. The Washington Post, D.C. council member Vincent C. Gray says he has dementia and won't cast votes. He won't cast votes. Now, that's the story that reminded me of Joe Biden. See, that's why I was reminded of Joe Biden, because I saw that headline. He has dementia and he won't cast votes. Now, that's the honorable thing for Vincent Gray to do, the D.C. councilman and former mayor and lifelong Democrat, because he has dementia, and that's very sad, and I'm sorry for him. And he won't vote, which is, hey, I've got dementia. Maybe I shouldn't be voting anymore. Joe Biden should step down as president, and Kamala should step down as the nominee. But that's another issue. A judge this week also moved to appoint a guardian over Gray, Vincent Gray, D.C. City Council, who has had numerous health problems in recent years. And that's all very sad. But I got it. These jobs must be the greatest jobs in the world, because people will do anything to get these jobs. And then you just can't pry them out of there with a crowbar. It's amazing stuff. So that's it. We got Vincent Gray, and Godspeed, Vincent Gray. God bless you. Poor guy, Vincent Gray, a crazy left-wing radical Democrat, corrupt, and now he has dementia, so that's that, an age-related dementia. So he's not going to be voting anymore. And he could be a role model for Joe Biden and for so many other Democrats.
Have you had the specific cognitive tests, and have you had a neurologist, a specialist, do an examination?
No one said I had to. No one said they said I'm good.
Would you be willing to undergo an independent medical evaluation that included neurological and cognitive tests and release the results to the American people?
Look, no. I have a cognitive test every single day.
That's not true. He lies all the time. And the news media then carries the lie from there. All right, now let me get just a couple of asides there that I had driving in and walking around the floor here at the radio station. Amazing stuff. So let me, there are new polls out, the Gallup polling organization. Americans overwhelmingly support voter ID. The Democrats don't. Why would they not support voter ID when the overwhelming majority of Americans support voter ID and other sane things? But the left is here to destroy everything from public faith and confidence to legitimacy of our elections and so on. And I mentioned this yesterday, but I didn't spend a lot of time on it. The Los Angeles Times editorial board editor quit the Los Angeles Times when the newspaper decided to not endorse Kamala Harris for the presidency. They didn't endorse President Trump. They just didn't endorse anybody. But that was too much for the woman in charge, who's a radical leftist, extremist, a left-wing kook, and a fake journalist, and not a legitimate editorial board. She's the head of the editorial page. Pretty amazing stuff. And she quit. And if that's not bad enough, well, two more of their senior people have since resigned, too. They're going to start their own paper, the Deutschland or something like that. Pretty amazing stuff. So I want to update you on that. And an update from the Daily Mail, because somebody's got to talk about it. Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, right? They call him Slugger. His Secret Service code name is Slugger. Slugger Emhoff, the headline in the Daily Mail. Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, slapped me in the face so hard I spun around, and I'm disgusted by his fake perfect spouse persona. Well, that is, that's the media that really helps with that stuff, because they get to clean up on aisle Democrat all day, every day, pretty amazing stuff. The perfect spouse persona. Man, oh, Manischewitz, I am telling you. And then, the joy is over, USA Today, a fake newspaper. As elections near, Kamala Harris's tone goes dark. Oh, what made you come to that conclusion? You fascist Nazi Hitler. And Hillary Clinton says they had neo-Nazis in 1939. Not exactly a historian. And she was there, wasn't she? And by the way, her husband, because they're having a rally, a Trump rally in Madison Square Garden. And in 1939, a bunch of socialist workers in the United States had a rally that they were Nazis. They called themselves not. They can call themselves neo-Nazis. But Hillary, you know, they use the words, but they don't know what they mean. And Hillary Clinton is one of those. Amazing stuff. But maybe she forgot that her husband, Bill Clinton, accepted the nomination of his party at Madison Square Garden. Was that the 1939 redo, the Nazi rally, you fascist? She's Eva Braun. Eva Braun, I think, probably had more charms than Hillary Clinton. And she had the decency to commit suicide with, although she may not have known what she was doing, with the head of the Socialist Workers' Party. That'd be Adolf Hitler. Amazing stuff. Yes, sir. Yeah, Hillary Clinton says Trump is going to Madison Square Garden to reenact. That's a big word for her. The 1939 Nazi rally. That's what Hillary Clinton said. Because they're bringing us together. They're bringing us together. I was texting with a friend in California. Old friend in California. Been friends for 40-something years. And texting with him in California this morning. He's out walking his dog real early this morning. And he says, listen, we really need to get on the phone and talk before the Civil War begins. And I said, well, you know, that's sure, I think that's probably a good idea. We probably should talk before the Democrats start their second Civil War in the United States of America, the fascist pigs. In the movie Casablanca, they do a short version of Deutschland über alles. And it really should be the Democrats' theme music at this point. They're such Nazis, such fascists. My father personally took some time out of his youth to go kill Nazis in Europe. Never been big fans of all that in my household. But Hillary Clinton, and I've been saying for a long, long time now, the Democrats should be wearing armbands so that we know who they are in public, because that would be very helpful, I think. And James Carville, what's the screwy Cajun? Whatever he's called, the mental Cajun. James Carville accuses Trump of mimicking notorious Nazi rally at Madison Square Garden. They all sing from the same mentally ill, demented Civil War sheet music because they're very, very unwell. Mental dwarfism is rampant in the Democrat Party. Oh, boy, oh, boy. And you know, President Trump, he went to McDonald's, and he's doing, I've got some audio for you today of Gen Z, members of Gen Z, Generation Z, talking about how many people their age, their friends, support Donald Trump and are becoming conservatives because it's a world gone mad that they're being raised in. And a lot of people are naturally intelligent, even if they're being brainwashed and indoctrinated by the lunatics. But Donald Trump's McDonald's shift went down best with Gen Z. The Gen Z Newsweek took a poll. You know how Democrats love to take a poll? What do you mean by that? It's a homonym. It's a homonym. That's another thing. Mel Gibson, the actor, was spotted in public, and he was rousted by a passerby about who he's voting for. I've got that coming up. The Biden-Harris administration have nearly 1 million illegal aliens staying indefinitely under just one of their new programs, the Quiet Amnesty Program. Puberty blockers for children. Democrats love the sexual abuse of children. The whole Democrat Party loves that. A study was conducted, but they never released the study. You'll never guess why. At Harvard University, the fascists there have terrorized everyone on campus to the point that, womp, 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 got that coming up. And it's 2 months until Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. We are at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Eden Pure is having their famous BOGO deal on Thunderstorm air purifiers. When you buy one Thunderstorm, you get one free. No matter how many you buy, you get an equal number for free. Buy two, you get two free. Buy five, you get five free. The Thunderstorm will help completely eliminate any odor. Even the worst odors from pet cigarette smoke, urine, cooking odors. The O3 molecules seek out and destroy the odors even behind furniture. Nothing can hide from the Thunderstorm. Now is the time to order. Eden Pure's Buy One, Get One Free sale is for a limited time only, so don't wait. With thousands of five-star reviews, you know it works like a champ. People are buying several for around the house and even as gifts. All you have to do is go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the discount code ChrisBogo. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code is Chris, B-O-G-O.
It's common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to RoundhouseProvisions.com, use code COMBO, or text COMBO to 511-511 and claim 40% off. RoundhouseProvisions.com, code COMBO.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text COMBO to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
My whole identity had been wrapped up in being a soldier. To have that so violently ripped from me when I was wounded, I was lost for a very long time. When Wounded Warrior Project came into my life, being around the other warriors, people that had similar experiences that I did, it was a game changer for me. Having King join the group, that was the beginning of a really good friendship.
It's a good time.
I first heard about Wounded Warrior Project through CQ. And at first I was kind of like, I don't know if I qualify. But having been a part of it, it's kind of taught me that it's not just the wounds that you can see, but it's those that you can't.
When you do something like a peer support group with Wounded Warrior Project and come together from different walks of life, man, the growth is incredible. If not for Wounded Warrior Project, I really don't think that I'd be here today.
See how we help warriors combat stigma at woundedwarriorproject.org/combatstigma.
Do you have a special needs child or an older adult in your home? The risk of them leaving the house unnoticed is real and terrifying. But you can protect your loved ones with Vivint Home Security. Right now, Vivint is offering a free doorbell camera with any new plan, plus free installation and low monthly monitoring plan. Call 800-953-6693. That's 800-953-6693. Monthly service agreement required for free installation.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Former CIA officer Jason Hansen here. As someone who's dedicated my life to protecting people, I know the importance of guarding what matters most. Right now, with global instability and the dollar's declining value, that means securing your financial assets with gold. For me, I trust Advantage Gold with my own investments. Give them a call at 800-900-8000 for a 100% free gold guide. Again, call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 today.
Paid for by Advantage Gold. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Let's take a phone call. And I love the, you know, the military industrial complex is sleeping with the Democrat Party, and they're accusing Trump of using the military allegedly in the future but not in the past to go after his political enemies or something. And while they are laying down with who, I'll get into that coming up. But right now, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Matt calling from St. Louis, Missouri. Matthew, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris. Happy Friday in Journalistopia. And you had a caller, Mike, from South Riding, Virginia, yesterday, who rightly suggested that, you know, the Golden Stream media, probably most of their anonymous sources are fake as a mechanism to, you know, spread their talking points. And a couple more aspects of that. I think they're actually the Golden Stream media, either probably deliberately, but maybe they're just that stupid. They're mispronouncing the word they really mean. They're saying anonymous and misspelling and mispronouncing. They're saying anonymous, but they really mean a non-exist. And so those are their sources. And then another motive, in addition to spreading their talking points, is, you know, I think they want to suggest that these people are fearful of retribution from Trump and the right if they, you know, give their names. And with no sense of irony, you look at, you know, people like Tara Reid is over in Russia because she's afraid. She's not anonymous. Elon Musk is targeted with investigations for speaking out. He's not anonymous. All these FBI and IRS whistleblowers that are targeted overtly or quietly for speaking up, they're not anonymous. And yet, you know, I think that's another suggestion why these, you know, so-called sources are anonymous, is that there's, you know, fearful of retribution from the right.
Yeah, I read a story yesterday about a new low for trust, faith, and confidence in the American news media. And they deserve a new low when it comes to faith, trust, and confidence in the American news media. And the Washington Times today has a story about foreign interference in our elections and these deep fakes. You know, the Senator Mark Warner saying that bogus election images appearing all over the internet, AI, artificial intelligence, which is one of the Democrat Party's areas, artificial intelligence, and they say China and Iran very active tampering with our election, and of course China and Iran love the Democrat Party. They've been dating Joe Biden.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Now at the Turtle Bay Museum, Mindbender Mansion, Unlock the Puzzle. On exhibition now through January 5th, featuring interactive games, challenges, brain teasers, and more. Perfect for families of all ages and school groups. Test your brain power and problem-solving skills now at Turtle Bay Museum. Don't miss out on this immersive exhibition. Mindbender Mansion. Unlock the puzzle. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson Pipes and Drums as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Have you been trying to make sense of local government, but 10 minutes in you already feel your blood pressure rise? Well, put down the headache medicine and get ready for a new perspective. Introducing Shasta Unmasked, taking on local issues and politics that affect you every day. Your government, public health, schools, and quality of life, unmasked and uncomplicated. With a great panel of hosts, local guests, and your calls, we can unmask the lies and shine a real light into our county. Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM. Shasta Unmasked, making everything local on the level.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
Hey, this is Carl Lindebot. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals. And the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate Thanksgiving at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy home-style turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us Thanksgiving Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holidays special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
If you haven't been listening to TV Confidential, this is who you're missing.
Louis Gossett Jr.
Eric Braden.
Samson Williams.
Burt Ward.
Peter Marshall.
Lindsay Wagner.
Loretta Swit.
Michelle Nichols.
Shirley Jones.
Louise Sorrell.
Jen Asner. A lovely and chatting interview.
It's all the
conversation. It wasn't an interview.
Well, thank you. That's what I try to do. I try to make this a conversation.
You made it.
That's TV Confidential.
Saturday morning at 11 on KCNR.
Like the Democrats did to Steve Bannon, who's sitting in jail right now, by the way, because they hate him. And as Matt mentioned from St. Louis, let's not forget about Tara Reid, who was sexually assaulted by then-Senator Joe Biden, digitally penetrating her, pinning her against a wall. She was a staffer. And the news media completely ignored it. Our filthy, rotten, corrupt news media. Remember that Pound Me Too stuff and Believe the Women, that was all just a political lie by liars that pretend to be journalists. And now they're targeting Elon Musk, and Elon Musk believes that they're going to try to put him in prison, and he even said that he's concerned that they may try to assassinate him, as they've done with Trump over and over again. And again, I mentioned this, the Democrat senator, but Senator Mark R. Warner, chairman of the Select Committee on Intelligence, said U.S. adversaries are expected to intensify digital disinformation operations to sow chaos, discord, and confusion among Americans if the presidential election is as close as anticipated. It is as close as anticipated. It is, hey, the polls are, we got 48.8% for Trump and 48.7% for Kamala. There is something wrong with that. That's not natural either. That's being manipulated. Not the poll numbers, but the public is being manipulated by the propaganda apparatus of the Ministry of Information for the Democrat Party. And, you know, Trump's a Nazi. Trump's a Nazi. He's Hitler. Hotsy-totsy, newborn Nazi, and all this stuff. And it's the old Joseph Goebbels thing, right? A lie told once remains a lie. A lie told 1,000 times becomes the truth. And that's what the Democrat Party does.
Did I hear you correctly say that perhaps he was influenced by Gergel?
Could have been Gergel. I'm not sure. And Senator Warner told the Washington Times in an interview this week that China and Iran in particular can use artificial intelligence to enhance the mass dissemination of deep fake videos. Now, keep in mind that Iran is actively involved in a plot to assassinate Donald Trump. They sent a Pakistani man who, last time I looked, is in custody, unless Kamala Harris had him bailed out with a fundraiser on GoFundMe or something. But a Pakistani man arrested in New York, thrown in jail because he was dispatched after spending weeks in Iran being groomed. Democrats just groomed children for the most part, but being groomed, they sent him to the United States to launch a plot to assassinate President Trump. Now, they didn't get as far. They haven't yet gotten as far as the Democrats have in their plots to assassinate Donald Trump. At the Trump rally in Pennsylvania, in Butler, Pennsylvania, and then a guy showing up at the Trump golf course in West Palm Beach, Florida, with his rifle in the bushes. And then another guy, where is this guy? Idaho, that was arrested and for plotting to assassinate Trump. And then we all forgot until one of our brilliant callers yesterday, one of our brilliant listeners brought up and he was a British guy. And I didn't have time. Two of my brothers came into town last night from Chicago, and they're best girls. And I didn't have as much time as I would ordinarily have to do all the research that I like to do. But a British person, a young man in his 20s, a British guy, tried to assassinate President Trump at a Las Vegas rally was that 2016? It was 2016, not 2020. It's hard to keep track with all the hate that they spread. You know, he's a threat to democracy. He's Hitler. It's going to be a Nazi rally at Madison Square Garden. I think there have been three political conventions that the Democrats have had nominating conventions at Madison Square Garden, not even going back to their Klan bake of 1924, where they had thousands of Klan members in their Klan uniforms with their Democrat hats and marching around New York City and New Jersey. But never mind that. So we've got Iran now. On whose side is Iran? Well, given that they're actively involved in an ongoing plot to assassinate President Trump, I'm thinking they're Kamala Harris people. I'm thinking they're Joe Biden, you know, between Barack Obama and Joe Biden. The Iranians have gotten everything they've ever dreamed of. $100 billion here, another. Joe Biden gave them $6 billion for 5 hostages, which might incentivize taking more hostages, you know, if history is our guide, and it is extraordinary stuff. So the Democrats are fully ensconced with the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Vladimir Putin has announced his endorsement of Kamala Harris twice, and he announced his endorsement of Joe Biden before that, and then the news media, they do the old deep fake lie themselves. They say, well, whatever Putin says, you can assume the opposite. Well, he's a communist, and you guys are lefties. And the communist interviewed last night on the Fox News channel on the street, he's a Kamala guy. But we'll get to that going forward. So the Iranians and, according to Senator Mark Warner, the Iranians and they left the Russians out this time, and China plotting with their deep fakes and stuff and with AI. And it's just another reason to not believe anything you see on the internet and anything you see in the news media. What's a deep fake and what's not? Pretty, pretty amazing stuff. Yes, sir. Also the front page of the Washington Times today. Obama's influence slips among black voters. Many recollect better Trump era. Well, how could that be? I mean, people are paying attention and they're aware of what's going on. Just amazing. Yes, sir. Also, the Washington Post, the three front page stories. Voters cross party lines to choose president. Motivation high near Philadelphia. And so are most of the voters. Most of them are high because, you know, they got to legalize pot everywhere. Because a stoned voter is a Democrat voter. The more stoned you are, the more likely you are to vote Democrat. It's not universal, though, I can assure you. There are a lot of Republicans and Republican voters that smoke pot. It's out there, and it's legal in Washington, D.C., for sure, and in many parts of the country, very legal marijuana, but never mind all that. Mm-mm-mm. And last night they had a celebrity bake-off with Obama joining Kamala Harris, and they had Bruce Springsteen. And who's Samuel L. Jackson to come out and make fools of themselves? Because just stay the hell out of politics. You know, you want it's Michael Jordan clearly and succinctly articulated the reality of this decades ago. Republicans buy sneakers too, you know? And if you're an actor or whatever it is you're selling, you shouldn't tell half the country to go screw themselves when you're supposed to be adored by the entire public. Not just the half that carjacks and shoots people and sells fentanyl and traffics in children. You know, you want the good guys to go see your movies and stuff, too. Just amazing stuff. Yes, sir. And in California, you know, Netflix has launched a crusade to get the Menendez brother, Eric and Lyle Menendez, released from prison. They, decades ago, murdered their parents with 12-gauge shotguns and, you know, blew their faces off, and then claimed that their dad was raping them, but nobody believed them, so they were sent to prison forever and ever. And now you've got George Gascón, who is the, you know, the George Soros prosecutor. They're pro-crime, anti-police. They love murder. George Gascón is now pushing. He's the district attorney in Los Angeles, and he is pushing to get the Menendez brothers, Lyle and Eric Menendez, released from prison as quickly as possible. And George Gascón is running for re-election now, and he's down in the polls, in big trouble in the polls. And he figures, well, maybe if I get the Menendez brothers released from prison, I'll win a lot of Democrats, and they'll come out and vote for me because they all love murder. And it's, you know, patricide and matricide. That's murdering your father and murdering your mother, patricide and matricide. Amazing stuff. So the Democrats and, you know, the parole board, he's bringing it to the parole board, and a judge has to rule, but he can't just do it himself. But keep in mind that the parole board there a couple of years ago gave parole to Sirhan Sirhan. And the gubernator, you know, Mr. Hairpiece, he still hasn't signed the paper to let Sirhan out. But I was convinced that if RFK Jr. had been doing better in the polls, that he would have signed the papers to release Sirhan. Speaking of which, RFK Jr. made a video, posted a video yesterday about his support for Trump on Al Gore's amazing internet. The Democrats will probably say the Iranians did it because they lie about everything. Extraordinary stuff. Lots and lots of stuff. That's what I'm telling you. Wah, wah, wah. Now let me, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Mike calling from Sunshine, Maryland. Michael, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Chris, thanks for taking my call. You know, they've been calling Donald Trump Hitler for about 8 years now. I guess they really mean it this time. You know, this was a coordinated attack. It is a psyop. It really is. It's coordinated at some very high level. Everybody on that side of the aisle is singing the same from the same song sheet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whenever I hear General John Kelly speak, I hear an axe grinding.
Yeah. And I've got a bit on that. My friend Mark Paoletta wrote up a piece, worked in the Trump White House, worked with General Kelly, and General Kelly coming out against it's kind of ironic for a number of reasons. General Kelly coming out against President Trump, really, vendetta is right, I think, Mike. He obviously bitterly dislikes Donald Trump. And I don't know how he can think, oh, it'll be great when Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are president and vice president. That's pretty wacky stuff. But I've got to say, and you're right, in essence, it is a psychological operation, a psyop being run against the American people. Just like the U.S. intelligence officials, 51 of them, ran a psyop against the American people on the lead up to the 2020 election, lying to all of us that the Hunter Biden laptop reporting had all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. That was a filthy lie. And John Brennan should have been arrested and in handcuffs for that, along with a couple of the others as well. And Dana Bash's ex-husband. You know, amazing stuff. But look, General Kelly, and then they say, oh, Trump's going to use the military to go after his political enemies. It was Joe Biden that militarized the city of Washington for months on end while the Democrats were rioting and looting businesses, and we had to board up 1,000 businesses, and many, many of them did not come back. But General John, and this is the Democrat Party. They're in bed with Dick Cheney, right? Who they framed as Satan himself for decades. Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney, they're all sleeping together. The military-industrial complex with the war in Ukraine and all kinds of war in the Middle East, thanks to the Democrats funding the Islamic Revolution. Amazing stuff. And General Thoroughly Modern Milley, he is saddled up with Kamala Harris. He had been chairman of the Joint Chiefs trying to make the entire military transgender. And so you got the Democrats have General John Kelly, I mean, I'm just scratching my head about him. I was, you know, had a high opinion of him, but this is just blowing up this, the whole political thing. And Thoroughly Modern Millie, who wants a tap dancing military to do Broadway musicals instead of win wars. The military industrial complex, Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney, the Democrats are in bed with all of them. Isn't that peculiar? For Kamala Harris, are you serious? Who can't even finish a sentence of her own creation. While they're jailing their political enemies like Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro and George Papadopoulos and trying to jail Donald Trump. And they say Trump's going to try to jail his political enemies. It's the old Russian playbook. They're going after Elon Musk and Donald Trump. And it's true, they're going after FBI whistleblowers. They try to destroy anyone that doesn't sing from the commie sheet music. These are crazy times. The Democratic Party isn't.
I want to understand white rage, and I'm white.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
America's strength isn't just built, it's worn. For those who put in the hours to get things done, G-Defy shoes are made right for you. With patented VersaShock technology, G-Defy doesn't just talk comfort, they engineer it. With every step you take, G-Defy shoes help absorb harmful shock and provide you with trampoline-like energy return. Now, G-Defy sent me a pair of their excellent shoes, and they sent a pair for my best girl, too. And we've hiked all over the city in them, and everything they say about them is 100% true. I'm not going to fib. They really are great shoes. You hike all over the city, you stand all day, and your feet feel great. Designed for hard workers, parents, and those who stand tall no matter what. Go to G-Defy.com and use the code Chris for $20 off orders over $100. That's code Chris for $20 off over $100. Because even champions need to rest. Go to G-Defy.com today.
It's common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com, use code COMBO, or text COMBO to 511-511 and claim 40% off. roundhouseprovisions.com, code COMBO.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text COMBO to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtBlue is here for you. With DebtBlue's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtBlue are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Hi, I'm Jason Hansen, a former CIA officer. In these uncertain times, with rising geopolitical tensions and skyrocketing inflation, protecting your financial future is crucial. That's why I trust Advantage Gold for all my precious metal investments. They're the only company I buy from, period. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 for a 100% free gold guide. See exactly how gold can safeguard your wealth. Again, call 800-900-8000 today.
Paid for by Advantage Gold. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
Do you have a special needs child or an older adult in your home? The risk of them leaving the house unnoticed is real and terrifying. But you can protect your loved ones with Vivint Home Security.
Alarm on.
Our child has autism. He doesn't usually elope, but one day he did, and it was the most terrifying moment of our lives.
If I didn't have a home security system, I would have realized way too late he's gone.
Right now, Vivint is offering a free doorbell camera with any new plan, plus free installation and low monthly monitoring plans. Smart locks, lights, cameras, and more makes Vivint Home Security the smartest way to protect your family and prevent a tragedy. Vivint is the number one smart home service provider in the U.S. Protection is just a phone call away. Call 800-953-6693. That's 800-953-6693. Monthly service agreement required for free installation.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months. When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong. I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit HFOTUSA.org.
Democrats identifying as communist voters. I've got that coming up. And you want a dictatorship? What? Let's go. I've got more to get to than I'm going to be able to get to, but I'll see what I can do. Got a lot of amazing stuff. You see, a couple of days ago, shares of Donald Trump's media company soar as betting odds favor White House win. Undoubtedly more reliable than the polls that the newspapers take. Let's go to the telephones, Mike. Let's go to Patrick calling from Vienna, Virginia. Patrick, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris. Great to talk to you today.
Welcome.
I'm in Vienna right now, and I'm in a high net worth neighborhood doing some work, and I'm surrounded by Harris Walt signs, and it just made me think. I was wondering what the net worth might be up on that stage last night for Kamala promoting socialism. I know Bruce Springsteen's worth $1.2 billion, and I know Samuel L. Jackson, along with his friend Jennifer Gardner, Kamala's new BFF, I know they do advertisements for the Capital One, the international banking conglomerate. So I was just wondering, you know, what kind of money was up there last night, net worth?
That is a fun question. And, you know, Barack Obama, I think the Obamas are at $100 million or something because, you know, public service pays off sometimes, not for normal, honest people. But never mind that. That is a fun question because, yeah, they're the party of the working class, of the little guy, and the Republicans are the party of the billionaires, right? And Bill Gates ponied up. Sent a billionaire, ponied up $50 million the other day, which is lunch money for him, of course. For the Democrats, the billionaire information oligarchs are all in cahoots with the Democrat Party. And, you know, he who controls the information.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.